Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Just won't quit, and Melissa's the one who has to deal with their sh. They're the LSD.
They don't do it for free.
While you're living your life, they're watching TV.
They're the LSD.
They do it for you. And soon you'll be watching them too.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the LFC Roundtable Podcast for Big Brother Canada 7. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today, a replacement, a fill-in. Melissa couldn't make it tonight, and so we got a wonderful replacement for her to fill in. It's Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm good. I know I'm no Melissa. I'm no Kirsten McInnes, but I'm here and I'm ready. My dad's not here today. Everything should be clean and not a terrible mess.
Hopefully. I'm sad that your dad is not going to be here.
No. I'm back at my house. I did not yet lose all my stock money, so I might not have to move home yet.
All right. Also with us tonight is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
I am doing great. I am a little bummed because the trajectory of this season was going a certain way, and now it's going another way. And I feel like there's a lot of people who are saying that the season is rigged. As somebody who is a connoisseur of the riggedness of it all, they didn't rig this season. Nothing is happening right now that is rigging anything. It's just Big Brother Canada and their twists. They like their twists, Taryn, and that's what's happening.
They like their twists. We are live on YouTube. You can join us in the chat if you want. I said the chat was blowing up before the podcast even started because we have breaking news for the roundtable. It's been a while since this has happened. Even during Big Brother 20, there wasn't a ton of breaking news. It happened a lot in Big Brother 19 for whatever reason. Oh boy, today we got some big news, basically right as the roundtable is about to start. I was about to start, you know, sending out links and then people were like, whoa, what's happening on the feeds? And I turned them on and it was like, so breaking news. We have been talking about Adam having found this blacklight flashlight looking for further clues in the archive room. About 15 minutes or so ago, the house guests were told to come to the living room. The nominees are supposed to sit in their spot, and the big scary voice said that a secret power has been found, and that this power makes the person who found it a secret assassin or whatever. And basically, the secret assassin gets to nominate a third person for eviction this week, and if you didn't know already, then you should be able to guess what's about to happen here. Corey has been named as the third nominee on the block next to Esty and Damien. So Corey now on the block after all of the work that Anthony did, after Mark sewered his own jury management to get Corey to be safe this week. It seems like it's not going to happen now. I assume this was Adam. I assume that Adam eventually found the thing and he is hiding the fact that it was him. He is saying, man, that tape recorder, I guess somebody must have found it before you, Dane. Who knows? And it seems like he's playing it off decently well right now. Anthony is not happy. Anthony's saying it must have been Adam. But who knows if that will stick. But headline of the night here, Brent, is Corey's on the block. Corey's probably almost definitely going home.
Probably going home. I don't think it's a done deal yet, but I do think that it it's definitely her that's likely to go home. I saw some people on Twitter who are really celebrating this. And as I was bitching to you coming on to this podcast right now, I don't really think this changes the trajectory of the season. In fact, I'm with Taryn in that I feel like it solidifies the season as Dana's the favorite. Like, if you're somebody who wants to see some blood on the Pretty Boys and wants to see them go after each other and wants to see something happen, this is not good news, people, because I feel like that Dane keeps all of his pieces on the board. Esty and Damian are firmly in his pocket. Corey was somebody who Anthony and Mark were going to be able to use to go after Adam and Dane. Now that probably won't happen. I feel like the season just got more boring. So all of you out there who are celebrating this, take another look.
I mean, it's more boring, I guess, but I don't think that, like, I don't like the idea of a twist coming in and making the people who are playing well get screwed over because of it. If anything, all this did was just solidify the fact that it's going to be the Pretty Boys going against, or, you know, blowing up other people's pawns, which is, I mean, that's good gameplay from them, at least. Like, Adam putting up Corey is getting what Adam wants. It's getting what Dane wants. And I think it's good for them to just basically make the inevitable happen a little bit earlier.
Yeah, well, although to be fair, I think that Anthony's played really, really well this week in terms of getting what he wants. We can talk about, you know, what price he might pay overall later. But, you know, in terms of, like, I came into this week going, I believe in Anthony because he has shown consistently, it's all my Twitter says, consistently to get what he wants. He just has this uncanny ability to get the people in the house, of this house, maybe not, you know, us, maybe not people, you know, maybe I see people who are like, this is laughable. I can't believe these people are buying this from Anthony. But he has shown over and over again to be able to get what he wants, and to see all of that undone by a twist is a little bit of a kick in the gut
for me. I mean, to be fair, he got Mark to do what he wanted, but, like, many of the other people in the house were upset about that.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I know. That's the point of the game, is to get somebody to do what you want. So,
yeah, I'm just saying, it's not like he has the entire house snowed in terms of keeping Corey safe.
Yes, I agree. But the person in charge who gets to name the replacement nominee, that's all that counts right now. And he got that done, just like he got it done last week. So, I'm still a little bummed about it.
Yeah, I mean, I came into this roundtable prepared to talk about how Anthony just won a battle, but what did it cost him in terms of the war? And now what we're going to talk about is Anthony thought he won the battle, and then a dragon came down and torched all his troops. Not looking good. Not looking good for the King of the North, Sir Anthony. Man, we got to talk about that and lots more tonight when we are going to go over everything that's been happening on the feeds. Let's quickly recap how we got here and why this is such a big deal for Dane in particular, which I agree, Brent. I think that I was talking about how Dane, I think, was still probably the person who was the front runner after this week, even though Anthony did win this battle. And now it really looks solidified. It really looks like Dane has overcome this obstacle. Dane now has Damian. He's got Esty. Corey is out of the way. Anthony has nobody to run back to except for Dane. I had a whole thing planned for my Dane ratings and my Anthony ratings. And now I've got to change it. It was so good too. I can't say it anymore. All right. So anyway, let's talk about the week. We saw Sam evicted last week by a 5-1 vote. Notably that she left behind an imprint of her lips on a piece of paper. Very important that we talk about that. Mark won the next HOH. He got every single question right. And he said, Brent, now is the time. Gonna strike at the Pretty Boys. This is my time to take control of my own fate, to be respected by the house, to prove to everyone that I am not somebody to be trifled with. I am nobody's puppet. It's time to take this never mind.
Yeah, and then at the end of the day, it ends up with Damian, Esty, and Corey on the block now, thanks to this twist. Three people who, as far as I can tell, are not in the Pretty Boys. None of those people are in the Pretty Boys Alliance. I'm so mad at Mark. We really had all of our hopes and dreams based on Mark, and it was a fool's errand, Taryn. It really was. I should have never bought it from you, because I feel like you talked me into it, that Mark was going to give us what we wanted, and I felt like, after watching him, that Mark was going to give us what we wanted. Him talking in the episodes to the diary room, I felt like he was going to give us what we wanted. And in the end, he was like Solomon with the baby. He cut it in half. Like, he only gave us half of what we wanted. And in trying to do so, he gave us none of either. He didn't do anything to help his game. In fact, he hurt it, and he didn't give us any good entertainment. The only thing that's going to give us good entertainment this week is the damn twist. It certainly wasn't coming from Mark. He doesn't have a narrative. The whole narrative of Mark now is just how bad he's tanked his game over winning HOH and giving everybody none of what they wanted and pissing everybody off and going after people. He was like, he's been shown to want to go after Damian and Esty, or like Damian more than Esty, but obviously putting them both on the plot. In people who really were not, they were not coming after him. I would say Damian more than Esty. Damian was happy for him when he HOH. He was cool with that. But now he's going to get, it would be one thing if you got one of them out of the house. I mean, at least you got somebody out of the house and move forward. But now somebody that he didn't even name as his nominee is going to be out of the house. And Corey, she's not going to go on the block and probably go home. I will say this, though. Corey going home, that's probably a vote for Mark if he gets there, because he did not nominate her. In fact, he kept her safe as long as Anthony isn't in the final two with him. So who knows how this may ultimately work out. It's just a big cluster app right now.
Yeah, I mean, what it looks like to me is that Mark has managed to take two people in Damian and Esty who were not coming after him and were fine with him. And Damian even liked him before this HOH, and he just royally pissed them off to the point where they don't want to work with him anymore. And they've even said not even willing to vote for him in the final two if it comes down to it, and they're a juror because he's made such weak moves. Mary, this does not look good for Mark.
No, but you know what? Like, in my opinion, this is exactly what I expected of Mark. I think we had this person who was all talk and who was going to be the audience favorite just to mess up their own game. Because I think even if he did what the audience wanted of putting two pretty boys up, that's not necessarily better for his game. It's just more entertaining and an interesting thing to do. But I think it's like, it's just poetic justice that he was this out of the loop guy who didn't have a great social game all season. And then, of course, he has the right amount of knowledge to know he should make a move. But then when he goes and tries to do that, it's exactly what we've seen from him before. He just can't describe it to people in the way he needs. He lets down so easy the second Anthony tries to convince him to do something else. It was just all bad. And I think that that's like what I expected of him to do. So, yes, he's in a bad position, but I think it's beautiful that it happened this way.
Beautiful. All right. So obviously, Mark, what he ends up doing is putting Adam and Damian on the block, thinking that maybe he can convince the rest of the pretty boys to take Adam out, then discovers it's not going to happen. Adam is mad that he's put up. Damian is mad that he's put up. Mark is not in a great spot at this point. Dane is going to push for Corey as a potential backdoor, and he is eventually going to convince Mark that this is a good idea. And Mark is going to say, you know what? I'll do Corey as the backdoor. Boy, if that had happened, how this week would have been different. This twist would have been another, you know, null and void thing. Adam then wins the veto, and Mark is flipped back over by Anthony, who finds out that Mark has changed his mind. He freaks out and then flips Mark back toward keeping Corey in a very aggressive style. And it causes a bit of a rift in between the pretty boys. It causes this sort of thing between Mark and Anthony and Adam and Dane, where they're, you know, just kind of like fighting back and forth about should Corey go, should Corey not go. And ultimately, it's Anthony that wins. Mark decides to put up Esty as the replacement for Adam, leaving Esty and Damian on the block. That's what we saw this morning with Esty and Damian and Kira all saying that Mark is a little man who is weak and makes weak decisions, and that they would not vote for him in the final two. And then come to tonight, about 25 minutes ago, when all hell breaks loose and Corey is put on the block, looking like Corey should go home. Now, we say that, but you can't necessarily count Anthony out, right?
Thank you.
Because here's how the votes look. There's now four votes total, with Mark as the tiebreaker. So with four votes, you need two plus Mark or three without Mark. Corey has Mark. Corey has Anthony. So that's one vote. And Mark, that means they only need one more vote. Now, currently, Adam and Kira are fully on board to vote out Corey. And Dane is also fully on board to vote out Corey. Dane should be voting out Corey. He's been pushing for Corey to be evicted for a long time. But you can't count Anthony out. There's a very good chance, I think, that he could convince Dane to flip back over. Hey, we need Corey. We need Corey to take out Adam. You think, you know what happened here? Adam found that twist. Adam used it, and now he's getting his way, and Adam is unstoppable in this game. Without Corey, you know, it's just down to you. And if you don't beat him, then nobody else can, and Adam's just going to steamroll this thing. Anthony could go to Kira. I think that Kira is not likely to be swayed at this point, but you never know. Anthony has had a good relationship with them in the past, and honestly, Anthony has been persuasive with Adam before in the past as well. He convinced Adam to protect Corey a couple of weeks ago when Sam was HOH. So, Brent, I don't know if this is the quite the done deal that we think it is, but yeah, it does seem pretty likely at this point that Corey will probably go home.
I have been saying I do not think it's a done deal. I also agree with you that Dane is his best option, and I think that appealing to his ego is the best way to go about it. Saying, "Look, Dane, you're the man, but the only person that can stop you is Adam, and Adam is doing this on purpose. If Corey is no longer here, then Adam, he can really, really truck his way to the end and can beat you. It should be me and you. Remember our final two? We are supposed to be at the end together." Now, I know that Dane may ultimately not want to take Anthony to the final two, but be that as it may, Anthony doesn't know that Dane is thinking that already. So he can appeal to his ego and say, "Hey, look, we really need Corey here to take out Adam. She will do that." I think, honestly, the one thing that might be holding him back is the fact that they still think the stupid triple is coming up. So, in Dane's mind, if there's a triple coming up and Corey wins that, then he might be in trouble. And that might be one reason why he might not want to keep Corey, is because of a potential win in a triple eviction for Corey. If he just knew it was a regular eviction, like a double, then he, even if he sits on the block beside Adam, he knows that Adam's going to go home as long as he doesn't win the veto. So I feel like that might be the one fly in the ointment. And they are expecting a triple eviction on Thursday, even though there isn't one coming up. So that could be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I can't confirm this, but I did read just 40 minutes ago that Dane may have heard in the diary room that maybe they shouldn't be too confident about a triple eviction coming up. So that may have some influence if it's true. I can't confirm it, but maybe they're hinting at this. Maybe they're telling them, "Hey guys, stop talking about the triple eviction," and that would be great.
They should just tell them. That's stupid to tell one person and not everybody. They should just have Arissa come on and say that, mm-hmm, "Hey, there's no triple eviction." Just tell them there's nothing coming up, Mary, for God's sake.
The thing is, though, even if they assume, okay, maybe there's no triple, but there's a double, he may still be afraid to keep Corey in the picture for that. I think also some of it's going to come down to who Anthony thinks had this power and put Corey up, because right now it seems like Anthony thinks that Adam was the one who did it. But if Anthony somehow gets in his mind that maybe Dane did it, he's going to be probably more hesitant to try and convince the person who just put them up. And so I think working around that minefield can be a little difficult as well.
Yeah. It's not good. Not good for Corey here. So, man, I was going to talk about the vote count. I was going to talk about where the votes could go and what the strategies are. But it's all different now. I was also going to talk about how, oh, boy, Adam found a blacklight flashlight in the archive room and said it was a game-changing opportunity. So you never know, he might use it to save Damien. Guess what? It happened. So now we already talked a little bit about the votes, but let's just solidify this. I've seen that Kira was talking to Adam saying, "For sure, we're voting out Corey, right?" Mm-hmm. Adam said, "Yes, absolutely." Dane has been celebrating with Esty. Dane has been saying, "Yes, yes, yes, absolutely. Thank God we're going to be able to get rid of Corey." So it seems like that is the case. I don't think it's been confirmed quite yet, but I have a lot of reason to believe that this was in fact Adam who made this move, that he found the flashlight, and they also were focusing on him and, yeah, Corey a lot in this meeting where they were told about this stuff. So I really feel like it's almost definitely Adam. Plus, he's been again playing it off pretty well, saying, "Oh, what was that about the tape recorder, Dane? You found it when? And they think that there was maybe a tape inside of the tape recorder, and he's trying to make it all about the tape recorder. I feel like if this was not him, then he'd be like, guys, I mean, I found a flashlight, but then nothing else happened. So I'm pretty sure it's Adam here. Anthony seems pretty confident that it's Adam, but I do think Adam has played it off pretty well. So I'm not sure how much that will stick, because Anthony would just blame Adam anyway, even if it wasn't Adam. So
the other thing is, now that there's three people on the block, I mean, Anthony trying to push so hard for Corey to stay and stuff, that's just going to ruin his relationship further with both Esty and Damien. Whereas if Adam and Dane, you know, reassure Kira, Esty, Damien, like, that's now a group of four who, you know, they're winning a lot of good favor from Esty and Damien by saying, of course, we're getting rid of Corey. We put Corey up to save you, whoever it is. I mean, I think it's, yeah, I agree. It's probably Adam. I think it could potentially be Dane, but definitely probably one of the two of them.
Yes, Mark seems to think it was Dane, and he also seems to think that, hey, what if I accidentally won the triple eviction? What if this is the triple eviction, because there's three people on the block and two of them go home and I accidentally won it? Doesn't That's seem likely.
Eviction. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm listening to the feeds updates, and the boys are fighting. Mark and Dane and Adam are all fighting, and Anthony is really pissed at Adam right now, saying he's the only guy who's douchey enough to do this. Mark is like, you've been eyeing me ever since the veto ceremony. You've been eyeing me ever since the whole thing went down. And Dane's like, you know, man, you got God. And it's just it's a mess right now. So I don't know. I'm go ahead.
Do you think there's any chance that this is a two people go home kind of situation?
I don't think so, for a couple of reasons, because I just thought about this for like a good 10 seconds. So I've definitely thought this out very well. I don't think so for a couple of reasons. One is that the triple eviction is like a big event. It draws in viewers. It's this big thing. They wouldn't want to like not have the triple, but still have a triple. It doesn't really make sense in that regard. Also, numbers wise, we've been talking about how a triple eviction doesn't make sense in terms of getting to the end of the game. So they'd have to like do something to make the schedule work in order to make this work. But I think if they wanted to make a triple work, they would just have it be a triple eviction where they can be like, oh, the big dramatic triple eviction, you know, and whatever. So
you sounded like the movie guy voice when you did that right then. That was very good.
Oh,
you
know,
like,
well,
the guy who says, like,
thank you. I was going for Big Brother Canada guy, but
by the way, for those people in the chat who are asking me to explain the twist, yes, says, so this is what happened earlier today. A message started playing throughout the season. The archive room is piled up with an endless flood of documents and boxes. What you don't know is that one of those boxes contained a special power. This power allows one agent to change the trajectory of the game. The power has been found. The agent has found it and now assumed the role of secret assassin. That's what it says. The assassin earned the right to secretly nominate a third house guest for eviction. And then they found out that Corey has been nominated by the secret assassin. End scene. So that's what's happening as far as basically just a third house guest on the block. I think it's hilarious that the one time Anthony doesn't get his way this season, of course, like, whoever did it was too chicken shit to tell him to his face. Like, nobody wants to get on his bad side.
Yes, I just read from BB Daily, Mark talking to Anthony saying, can I be honest with you? I knew there were cracks in the foundation long before anyone else knew it. The other reason why Adam went on the block was to test the waters a bit and see. And Anthony says, yes. Mark is admitting to Anthony that he was considering taking the shot at Adam. It seems like they are both mad enough, Anthony certainly, that this may cause a permanent split in the group.
I think it will.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, well, I feel like a couple of things. I do feel like that Dane realizes, number one, that Mark is a liability. So he might actually want to keep him in the game, but he might be more mad at Anthony because he really didn't get his way. He lost the war to Anthony. Let's be clear about that. He lost the battle to Anthony, maybe end up winning the war, obviously, with Corey going on the block. I do feel like Adam is, in the end, going to get his way by Corey going on the block. But I do feel like that he's going to be the one that really takes the rap for this.
Yeah, Dane benefits. Dane gets all of the just desserts, and Adam is going to take all of the heat for this.
I feel like he is, Adam is the first one out. For the pretty boys, as far as the layout of the board is concerned.
Yeah, but
I also,
who does it?
I don't know.
Nobody else can win.
I mean, yeah, well, you never know. I know you say that the game is broken. I don't necessarily, I do feel like that it's been a little predictable, but there could be some crapshooty HOH that comes up. There could be some endurance thing that comes up. SD could win something like that. Damien, I don't understand how Damien is not better at some of these competitions. He's a smart guy. He's articulate, well-spoken, even if he is a little shy. He's athletic. I mean, what the hell's the problem?
I don't think he has the drive. He's just not like as into it as everyone else. So I just don't think he cares as much.
I've thought about this a little bit. I feel like Damien has a sort of deceptive body type where he seems sort of like he is hot. Very athletic. But he is like a heavier guy in terms of like musculature. Like he's a very strong guy. He was a goalie. And I feel like that's the wrong body type. He seems like he's smaller, but he's actually not. And so he's really bad at the stuff that requires a lot of like this agility stuff that the lighter, you know, people are going to go with. If there were strength competition, like he'd do great on Survivor where it's like all about, you know, strength and like whatever. But for like the Big Brother competitions, he has the entirely wrong build for it. I've talked about how like Matt Hoffman, who won like all of the endurance competitions on his season, as a much smaller guy, has the right build for Big Brother. And Damien has the wrong one, but he doesn't look at it at first glance. And so there's that. And then, then he's not a fan of the show. So he doesn't know like the right ways to study the best. And so he's not going to do great on those. And apparently he's just really bad at puzzles, too. And so it's very, very bad looking for Damien, ultimately.
Yeah, he is who I thought he was coming into the season, because I tweeted actually like because Damien was on the feeds and he was like, you know, basically I'm a feminist. And, you know, that along with all the other things that he said really have endeared him to Twitter incarnate. And so I'm like, you know, he's going to have his pick of the litter when he comes out of the house. Well, his girlfriend subtweeted me and was like, as if he didn't already. I didn't know who she was. And I was like, yeah, but coming into this season, I thought he was a total douche canoe. And she's like, well, you got that wrong. And then somebody informs me who this person is. And I'm like, look, I still thought he was a douche canoe coming into this season. And I've been shown that I was wrong. He is not a douche canoe, but he's not very motivated. He's not very gung-ho, and he doesn't really care about Big Brother Canada. And I feel like that's showing right now.
I think he does care. I think that he's a very laid back guy. And so like he doesn't know how to play the game. And so like I you see this a lot from him where like he talks to himself a decent amount and he lets out his emotions there and like how driven he is. But when he's with other people, he's very reserved because he feels like anytime he says anything, it just gets back to other people. It's like, I can't come up with a good metaphor that's not like a video game.
I'll get it. Go ahead.
It's like when you peek your head around a corner and you're getting shot. And so every time you peek your head around the corner, you're just constantly getting shot and you can't see where the bullets are coming from. And so you just end up just kind of sitting there just like hoping. And then every time you poke it out, like, nope. And that's because Damien doesn't know where the power lies, how this house is structured. And so
but he does, though. Like, I don't understand.
Just because he saw one conversation doesn't mean that he knows there's a guy's thing.
But he's never brought that up. He's never said that. You know, hey, you know, just so you know, I'm like, what does he have to lose right now? You know, like he doesn't have any power within the Big Brother game. Why doesn't he just say to Este, you know, hey, I saw this when I first came into the house. They let me in first because I won some viewer vote, and which has been shown to mean shit because Kiki won a viewer vote and obviously she's gone. So I mean, like he can say that to her. I can't even remember if there's a rule like he can't tell her. Or what?
Yeah, you can't say that you were watching the TV.
Well, he could say he overheard it, but
here's the thing. Yeah. Here's what I think I think his thought process is, right? He saw Adam approach Dane about like, hey, I want guys to work together. Then he approached Adam about guys working together and Adam was like, yeah, I'm totally into that. Except that Adam put him on the block that week. And so it seemed like, okay, maybe not this guy thing. But then ever since they've been flirting with this idea. Adam has always talked to him about a guy's thing, but it seems like to Damien, like Damien this week is talking about like, we've been talking about this guy's thing forever. It's time to make it official. Damien thinks that the guys haven't made an official thing, that they were approached just like he was approached, but nothing ever came of it. And that eventually it needs to be solidified. And he thinks this is part of what's protecting him, part of what's keeping him safe. And so he has no reason to say anything about it, to be like, hey, there's talk of a guys thing, because he thinks that he's kind of part of it. So when people say, like, he knows, he saw the conversation, he didn't see a conversation where Adam said, here's what I want to do. Four guys, we all get close to a girl, then, you know, blah, 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 blah. He just heard an approach about, like, hey, I want the guys to work together. And that is very consistent with what's been told to Damien ever since. So that's how I feel about it, Mary.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I also think, you know, he's smart enough to see the people who have been getting voted out. They've either been like assertive people. I mean, besides, with the exception of Eddie, pretty much everyone's either been assertive people or like girls who have been attached to guys and they're taking down their power. And so him just sitting back, like, yeah, he's been put on the block, but he's been saved over and over. This was really the first time he was in super real danger. So his method of just like, I'm not going to win anything, I'm going to hide here, kind of like what you're saying, video games, turn and face the corner. If they can't see me and I can't see them, we're all good. It's not going to win him a game. It's not going to help him make any moves, but it is keeping him alive. So for someone who doesn't know the game and just knows that Canada probably likes him because they keep voting for him for stuff, he's probably like, you know what? I'm just going to be nice and friendly and hang out here and see what happens, because he doesn't care. It's not his game. It's not his show that, you know, call the kids in and whatever Reem said.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that if he ever did manage to get power, it would have given him an opportunity to maybe learn some more. But I think that how he learned to play the game is poke your head out the corner, get shot. Okay, staying in this little spot keeps me from being nominated because I was nominated twice and I almost went home. And if I just stay here, I'm safe. And I'll start to reach out to Corey, oh, no, Corey's not there anymore. Well, I don't know what happened. I guess I'm just going to stay here again.
That was his fault,
Dana's
though.
Keeping me safe. I wouldn't say that was Damien's fault as much as it was Anthony for, yeah. I mean.
Well, he was outplayed.
Yeah, he's outplayed for sure. So yeah, I mean, his fault for being outplayed, but not his fault in that it was an unforced error. He was, you know, it was a forced error by Anthony. Yeah. So not to say I'm defending Damien's game. I think his head is in the game a lot more than people give him credit for. He's just playing very scared. And he has nobody to talk to. And so, you know, it's just like everyone else in the house right now. He just doesn't have one of the guys that he's close to because Mark is stupid and didn't realize he had an opportunity to pull him in.
I agree. Also, Adam, I don't think Adam is helping himself because he's saying he's really playing it off that he's not the one who found this. He just said to Mark, that's effed up. Mark's like, you found it. Adam's like, no. Mark says, ordain one of you two. Adam, I'm not the one who found the effing recorder. Mark says, either way, whoever found it wouldn't be able to say it. So I really do feel like that this little twist might be what we need. If we didn't already. I feel like we already had this, but really to break apart these two pairs of boys.
Yes. there's a conversation happening between Mark and Adam.
Okay,
right,
well,
now
I'll keep talking while you guys listen to that, but if you want to jump in, just let me know. I am excited about this, but it's also a weird dichotomy because Dane, I do feel like in the end would probably, as I said, take Mark to the end. So even though the two pairs are kind of against each other, there's no universe where I think that Dane is taking Adam to the end. And I think that's probably smart because I do think Adam's the one person who could probably beat Dane.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. We heard from Dane just this morning that he was talking about how Mark is a perfect person to take to the final two. And that is definitely a different song than the one he was singing earlier in the season when he was talking about me and Anthony getting to the final two. It's not that anymore. Now it's, Mark looking good to take to the final two.
It's a really weird scenario because as far as the ratings go, it's really hard to evaluate Mark's week because I feel like the execution wise, I give him an F, but positioning wise, I feel like he's in as good a spot as he was in before, maybe even a better spot, to eventually make his way to the end of the game. So I'm not quite sure what to do with that. I'm still thinking it over.
Well, personally, I think the damage he has done with how the house views him is dramatic. I think that the reason he's in a better spot now is because the jury is not going to vote for him.
I mean, not to throw shade on Paris, but like there was no universe where she was winning at all. People were like, you know, oh, she's terrible. She's this, she's that. She can't win a competition. She has no direction over the way the house is going, and then she wins two competitions at the end, and it's like glory be, let's vote for her. I do think that there is a way for Mark to undo damage that he's done, or at least mitigate it some by having a solid week or two moving forward, but I just don't buy the fact that he's in a place right now where he can't win.
Well, I think the major difference between Paris and Mark is that Paris had a great social game. She was very good friends with a lot of the jury members, and Mark is not.
He's not. Oh, God, he's so terrible. He's so terrible. Like, just his conversations with Esty and Damien earlier today were so freaking terrible. Like, I mean, I know that it's no fun to tell people that they're going on the block or that they're going to be the target, but his reasoning's so bad, and of course he's hiding the true reason, but he can't come up with a good fake reason. Part of playing the game is coming up with a good fake reason when you have a secret reason in your head, and he's just not good at that at all. And he doesn't have the empathy card, Taryn. Like, he cannot empathize with any of these people in terms of how they're feeling in that given moment. He can't just say, you know, I know how you're feeling right now, and I understand you. It's not part of his vocabulary.
He's very focused on, like, himself and how he comes across to other people. Like, he's very focused on, like, how do I look to this person? And he doesn't actually read from that person how they're really feeling. He's only thinking about, like, how he's trying to come off. And he thinks that if he, like, controls how he comes off to other people, then they'll see exactly what he's trying to come off as. And it's a big mess, Mary. I hear what Brent is saying about, I don't think that Mark is necessarily completely drawing dead, but I do think he's done a lot of damage, and it will take something significant for him to regain the respect of the jury if he only has a couple of weeks at this point. What do you think about that?
Well, here's where I think the dangerous situation for Mark is now, it's a long shot, so bear with me. But let's pretend that, like, Esty wins HOH and she puts up Mark and Anthony, which I think is possible. Now, you can't factor in, like, people getting in her ear or whatever. But assuming that she does that and that happens, Kira, Damien, like, I could see them voting Mark out over Anthony. Part of it is that for whatever reason, Esty still thinks that Mark has a lot of people with him. And so there's, like, that factor. But I think that that's a situation where Mark could be in a worse spot than someone like Anthony. I think Mark trying to talk himself off the block, it would take Dane and Adam really wanting to keep Mark around to take him as a jury goat or something to really swing that vote against Anthony in that scenario.
Yeah, and I also saw shortly after this, Dane was talking to Esty saying, you know, I'm really starting to feel good about Adam. Like, he is trying to actually make her move away from Adam as a target because perhaps he sees this Anthony-Mark duo as a little more threatening overall. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that. I don't know if he'll stick to that, but it's definitely a possibility that that Mark could be in trouble if one of the pretty boys does not win. And honestly, even if somebody like Adam wins, I could see him being talked into maybe taking a shot at Mark because he is such a mental threat, which is also what he showed this week, winning the competition in the way that he did. It's an interesting week, and we'll definitely talk more about it once we get to the stock watch. But for now, let's talk about the state of the house. Luckily, there's not too much that has to change here based on what just happened. I have a different format here that I'm going to use because of the unique format of the house at the moment. The pretty boys are the house. It's been this way since last week. It's going to continue to be this way. Adam, Dane, Anthony, Mark. It's just them. And so what I wanted to do for the state of house this week is just focus on these four guys and what connections they have, because I feel like they're the only people in the game right now. Right.
I'm picturing, like, the chat room and Twitter right now, like, thinking, like, oh, all year we have to hear about the pretty boys. And now Taryn is doing the state of the house. And now it's not just about the house. It's just about these four boys. Like, let's talk about them more. And not only that, they call themselves the pretty boys.
There's legitimately, there are no real connections without a pretty boy involved. So it's like, you have to go through them.
If they did not call themselves the pretty boys, but they had a better alliance name, would we be a little more up on this whole situation?
Because
it's just the name that really kills it for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy with them running the house. That's fine.
And it's annoying too, because I want to make, like, pretty boy jokes and, like, pretty jokes, but you can't even I was going to, like, don't be too pretty for this survey. But then I was like, that's calling people ugly. You know, I don't like this. I can't make any jokes here. All right. So let's talk about the pretty boys individually. Should we start with the person with the least amount of connections or the most amount of connections? Let's start with Dane. Dane has the most.
Let's start with Dane.
Dane, he's got Esty at the top. Esty is fully loyal to Dane. She's said to Mark that she's willing to turn on Dane in the final five. I don't believe that, especially seeing the diary room in the last episode where she said that she intentionally pretends to be less close to Dane than she actually is. I think she is fully loyal to Dane, firmly in his pocket.
And I don't understand it. Sorry, stop right there. I'm like, yeah. I need to be the Melissa for a moment. He's missing a tooth. Like, what? Why are you so loyal to this guy? He would clearly beat you at the end. I mean, yeah, I realize he's making you feel safe, but like, there's only 8 people in the house. After this week, there's going to be 7. Might you think about trying to get rid of him at some point?
Yeah. So he's
just to also give my opinion on that. Yeah, I don't get the Dane love either, from Espy's point of view, at least, unless it's that kind of thing where it's like he's missing a tooth, so maybe I have a leg up on him socially and he'll like me more for that or something. I don't know. Charisma, I guess.
Who knows?
I just don't like the women in reality TV games that just like cling on to a guy and want them to be their protector. Unless they do it well, it really pisses me off, especially when I know that guy can beat them. Like, it would be one thing if he was an asshole, but he's not.
No, but see, for me, it's like, it's lower down than that. It's just, I could not put up with his like smelly, gross behavior. That's what kills it for
yes,
me.
Yes, well, that sort of goes without saying. Yes, but I fully agree.
Yeah, I just, I don't get it. Anyway, let's move on. Dane also has Damien, who I believe is mostly loyal to Dane. Dane has been good to Damien. He has not nominated him. He has kept him safe. He has been working to keep him safe this week. He has a very good relationship with him. Damien is also tied to Esty, which helps pull him in. He's another soldier for Dane. Now, Dane has also been working on Kira. He's been getting closer to Kira. Sam, apparently before she left, told Kira that they need to work harder on working with Dane, that one of the big problems they've had in the game was not trusting him more, that was a mistake. They should have trusted him more because he's on their side. And working together this week to get Corey on the block has really bonded them together even more. Kira is definitely a number for Dane's side. More loyal to Adam, but also loyal to Dane. Kira has basically said that if they don't win, they want Adam to win. And the gist that I get from Kira is that if Adam doesn't win and they don't win, they would like Dane to win. So good to know about that. Adam currently is pissed at Anthony and Mark, and so he is more loyal to Dane for sure. He has always kind of been more loyal to Dane, but they've had some tiffs in the past. But right now, their goals are matching, and they're fighting for the same thing, and they seem to be bonding more because of it. Adam is a number for Dane for sure. Dane also still has Anthony as a final two. This is still there. It's been eroding. It's not as strong as it was before, but Anthony still feels good about Dane a lot more than he does about Adam, and a lot more than he does with Dane's numbers. He'll definitely go after Dane's numbers. He'll go after Adam, plenty of people, before he goes after Dane. And especially now that he's losing Corey, he really doesn't have anywhere else to turn except back to Dane's welcoming arms. We then have Mark, who is also still feeling very good about Dane. Dane volunteering to go on the block was very impressive for Mark. He might want to take a shot at Adam eventually, but he still wants to work with Dane leading into as far as potentially the final four, final three. So Mark is still on Dane's side. They still have a good connection there. And even Corey, who's now probably going to be leaving, felt very good about Dane. And she probably, I don't know, she probably won't leaving the on her way out the door since he'll be voting her out. But I would say, I would have said Corey was more loyal to Dane than anyone else except for Anthony because of the work that Anthony had put in for Dane. So in case you were wondering, that's literally everyone in the house. He's good with everyone in the house. That's Dane's game. We started with the guy with the most connections here, Mary.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. I thought Dane had pretty good ratings all season. I mean, at his worst was like when he was HOH back a while ago. So that was probably when I was most nervous about his position in the house, because I thought he was just doing too much too early. But, you know, you can't fault his social game. He's got the connections. He's like one of the few people who's realized that they should be making connections with everyone in the house and not leaving people just off to the side. So the fact that he's able to do that, he'd be probably of the pretty boys also the person I'd be most happy with a win just because of consistency.
There you go. Let's move on to Anthony, who has the second most. Dane with a full 7 other people that he is connected to. Anthony has 4 people that he has good connections with. Corey, first and foremost, fully loyal to Anthony. And here's a difference because, you know, Dane has quantity. Anthony has quality. Corey will do whatever Anthony tells her to do. That's not as much the case with Esty and Damien for Dane. However, Anthony is now losing Corey potentially here. So not great for Anthony there. Quantity and quality is failing or going away here. Next would be Mark, who idolizes Anthony, would probably do whatever Anthony tells him to do. But I don't know for how long. I don't know how loyal Mark is to Anthony all the way down to the end. And this is a very important one for Anthony to lock down here, Brent.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's his ticket to the end of the game. I mean, and Mark has shown he can win these competitions. I always felt like he could. I don't know why he couldn't before, but something that was totally mental based is something that's right up Mark's alley. Anthony, like, he's trying. I think you were laughing at him earlier on the update earlier today when you were like, he's trying, but he's just so terrible at this. And that's exactly what it's like when I tried to learn football when I was younger. I'm just so terrible at this. This is terrible. No matter how good you, like, if you just can't do something, you just can't do it. And Anthony can't do it. So he needs Mark to get to the end of the game, I think. And obviously, I think that he would beat Mark at the end of the game. Yeah. I do think it would be close, but I think he would beat him. If he doesn't have that, like, once he's losing Corey, I really feel like things are dicey for him. I really felt like Anthony was in such a good position. If this twist had been revealed tomorrow morning or later tonight, like, our ratings would have been totally screwy insofar as how we view things moving forward in the week, which has happened in the past before, but I've never encountered something where it happened like right when we were getting ready to do the show.
Yeah.
We're just helping people, saving them from buying a bunch of Corey stock.
That's true.
Yeah. He also has connections with Dane and Adam individually. Obviously, the one with Adam is a lot more tenuous. He still has this final two with Dane, but Dane is now thinking that Mark is a better final two option. That's not good for Anthony. And this connection with Adam is really only because Adam is still mostly loyal to the Pretty Boys, not so much to Anthony individually. So that's really all the connections that he has. The other three Pretty Boys, and half of them are only because of the alliance connection, not an individual connection. He's rapidly losing his influence. He needs to be able to branch out because he, at one point in the game, just last week, he had Corey, he had Kira, he had people, he had Dane, he had Mark, he had a lot of people eating out of the palm of his hand, and now it's looking like it's starting to go away. And
yeah, there could be like a new formulation happening in the house right now, because I just read that Esty was talking to Adam, Damien, Dane, and Kira, and she said the only person now we have to beat in the HOH upcoming is Anthony, which is boggling to me that they would say his name out loud like that. Like, mm-hmm. A week ago, that would never happen. Like, to me, a week ago, it was never about Anthony, but he spent so much social capital in trying to keep Corey off the block that I do feel like he has isolated himself and Mark from a large majority of the house.
He burned a lot of bridges.
He should know this because he is the one who yelled at Adam all season long for doing the same thing with Sam. And it's almost like, yeah, it hurt Adam for losing Sam, but at least he did it early enough to where he can pick up some more pieces and make some more connections with Anthony. You don't want to be the last person around who's got this really close part. I can see you getting
Mary. What? What? I am not like Adam. I am not like him. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly the same. It's exactly the same thing. Exactly the same
thing. Honestly, it's worse. It's worse.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, he may not be sucking bubbles out of people's mouths, but he's still spending 100% of his time. And it's not because they're not a showmance. He can't even like justify it emotionally, you know, which Adam could do. Cause Adam, it was kind of like, yeah, he's attached to Sam, but it's because they're in love and they're going to get married and we're not going to be invited to the wedding because we tried to vote them out and all that. And now it's like Corey gets to the end with Anthony and no one on the jury is appreciating that. Sam's gonna give a whole speech.
Yeah. Yes. It's just the epitome of like, you know, somebody else does something and you are castigating it and you do it and you're like, well, of course I can do it, but I know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I know what I'm doing. I feel like that's where Anthony's.
I just want to point out the there's a chatter named Weed Brain. It's a reference to Sam doing some great method chatting in the chat. I always enjoy their little posts. like, hey, can you guys slow down, please? I'm just trying to understand. Oh, Terrence, stop scaring me. all right. So that's Anthony. Next is going to be Adam. Adam, who has Kira, fully loyal to Adam, wants him to win. If they don't win, Kira is definitely a number for Adam. Adam also has Dane. Dane is currently working with Adam. Their interests are aligned at the moment. I don't expect that to last forever. I do not think that Dane is going to stick with Adam forever, but for now, he is a very valuable ally for Adam, and he is also starting to gain Damien as a connection, and to a much lesser degree, Esty. We'll see if that develops. Like I said, I think we're seeing the seeds of it right now, where Dane is talking to Esty about Adam. They're voting together this week. They had a common goal. I think that will bond them together a bit. So Adam is picking up some influence. He's picking up some connections from this week. This is big for him that Corey is up on the block.
Yes, and I mean, if I had a magic wand and gave it to Dane and on behalf of Adam and said, here, let's make your week even better than it already was going. Like, you managed to keep yourself safe and you're going to keep Esty in the house. You might lose Damien, but that's okay. And say, how can we make your week better? Not only is Damien not going home now, but your main competition in the house, Anthony, his number one ally, is going home. And it's all of you now. Like, it's amazing, this little circle of people with Dane and Damien and Adam, at least temporarily, and Kira and Esty, who are all basically going, I guess they're going after Anthony now. Maybe Mark, maybe Anthony wouldn't go home. Maybe Mark would go home. I agree with you, Mary, that if they're nominated together, Mark is probably the one that goes home. But gosh, with Corey gone, and she was the next big bad of the house, like Sam, but with her gone now, I really do feel like it opens up the playing field.
Yeah. Finally, we have Mark, who is connected to Anthony as one of Anthony's puppets to some extent here. Anthony will, I do think, protect Mark as far as he can take him. He also has a connection to Dane as a final two goat. Dane wants to take Mark to the final two right now, probably, if that sticks. And then he does have a connection with Corey through Anthony's influence. Anthony will keep Mark safe with Corey, but again, Corey is going home. Mark's connections in the house looking very, very trim.
You know, I just thought of something, Mary, that going into this week, we were hoping that Mark was going to break up the pretty boys.
I was about to say this. I was going to say, if the pretty boys get broken up on Mark's HOH by accident in a way that makes Mark on the bad side of the pretty boys there of the breakup, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, like that. You just have to love the fact that the person who's trying so hard to do this is the one who's suffering from it happening.
If you look up the definition of dramatic irony, you'll get Mark's HOH week. Yeah, that's how we're going to do it. Anything else we should talk about before we get into the stock watch?
It's just, this is the way of the producer saying, okay, Mark, you almost had it. We still need the pretty boys to be broken up. So we're going to force this twist in there, and it's not going to work out for you, but it's going to be great.
Oh boy. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
And we're back. So let's get to the Stockwatch. We're going to rate these players. I sent out a form earlier today on Twitter that the audience was able to fill out and give each of the players a rating out of 10, how they're playing, what their chances are of winning this week. And this is, you know, a 1, you got no chance to win this game. A 10 is you are basically Dan Gysling. When are they going to write you the check? And let's get into it. We're going to start with Mark here. Mark here, our HOH. Last week, he had an average rating of 6 total. Each of us on the LFC, myself, Brent, and Melissa, gave him 6s. The audience was at a 5 for Mark. Mark's stock has been all over the place. He started at 5, he went down to 3, and then up to 6, and that's where he has kind of stayed for now. I personally have made a lot of money on Mark shares, but we have, I think, some people that are going to lose some money on Mark's shares this week if they own any.
Well, and the thing was, let me just say that going into tonight, I felt pretty good about Mark because even though he executed this badly and he looks like a wuss to a majority of the house, like getting rid of Damian was the correct call, or at least keeping Corey in the house was the correct call. I don't know if getting rid of Damian was the correct call, but at least keeping Corey in the house was definitely the right call for him. It's just he did it in such a half-assed manner, and he couldn't really come up with a reason, Vanessa, for anything that he was doing, so it didn't make sense to anybody. I gave him a 6 last week, and I have to say that I've never seen somebody who did more damage to their game by winning HOH since, like, Bailey from last season of Big Brother 20. When you come into a week and you're and everybody loves you or at least tolerates you in Mark's case, shade, and you win an HOH that you really have no business winning, and you say you're going to do something that you have no business doing and breaking up the pretty boys, and you didn't really do anything. And not only that, but your HOH is being totally subjugated by this twist. I feel like I have to give you a bad score. And not only that, your endgame chances have taken a hit. And I do think you can come back for it, but that's what future stock watches are for, not this one. So I gave Mark a 3, and I don't know if people are going to like that. Sorry. I know Matt's not going to be happy with me, but that's what I gave him. And I was like trying to find a way to maybe I could give him a 4, but I really don't think he is a 4, Matt. Yeah. Like he is a 3. I feel like he could be, look, I feel like he could be evicted next week.
Yeah.
With the way these people are talking and the way they're isolating Mark and Anthony and how wussy Mark looks to the rest of the house.
It's funny you mention Bailey because Christina Z has had some more stats for us. Corey's HOH week was actually tied with Bailey for second lowest price of an HOH week during their HOH week at $3. The only people lower were Fessy and Sam. And so if Mark ends up with a 3 here, he will also be tied at 3 with Bailey and Corey for lowest price as an HOH. And I will say, going into this roundtable, I was a little torn. 3 or 4. I think Mark tanked his endgame chances with the jury, but that does mean he's more likely to get there. That's not bad for Mark. And maybe in that time, he can win some respect back. And Corey staying was the right move for him, even though the way he did it was absolutely terrible. However, with this twist, I think he lands firmly in the 3 category. He did all of these terrible things, and he's not even getting the reward from it. He's now pissed off so many people in the house, and they're all going to stay. And it's just very, very bad. I would give him a 2 position wise only if I felt like, if it wasn't like a twist that screwed him over. So I'm going to go with a 3. And then how this is going to work, we're going to, I have Melissa's ratings and her reasonings for those ratings. And so Mary is going to give us her ratings, her own personal ratings as well with her explanation, but she's just one of the audience members. She's a representation of the audience.
Yeah, exactly. And so therefore I will possibly have more extreme ratings. Maybe we'll see.
you're one of the people that like Mark is a 10.
not exactly.
Not don't make him go down.
I mean, I honestly had put my ratings in earlier on the survey and I didn't write them down, so I don't remember what I put. So this might have changed in light of everything. I was debating here between a 2 and a 3 for Mark personally. Mm-hmm. I think that he's like, it's not just the fact that I don't think you get points for being taken to the end as a goat. I don't think that relates to either good win potential or good gameplay. I think that he has tanked his game with, like you guys are saying, half-assing everything, but also just the fact that there's a really high likelihood that almost anyone could vote him out at this point. Like, even I could see a scenario where Anthony turns on him to try and win some good favor with some of the other people in the house if he realizes that being connected to Mark is not making things, you know, good. So I, like 2.5, 3. I mean, I can go to a 3, but it's a low 3.
Yes.
By the way, I just want everybody to know, coming into tonight, I had Mark at a 5. I really Ooh. Did. I know that you were between a 3 and a 4. I was between a 4 and a 5. I gave him a 5 ultimately because I do feel like his position was sound. I always felt like Corey was going to be evicted ahead of him, and he could always have endgame potential in terms of winning competitions even after she was evicted. But now with her gone, he doesn't have his shield anymore. I do feel like he loses his sitting next to Anthony. And he may not, he's the outgoing HOH. He can't even win the next HOH to protect himself. So he's in dire straits.
I just think, in terms of favor of the house, he lost so much goodwill like 3 separate times. First with Adam for trying to put him up, second with not putting up Corey when they wanted him to. And then now again, if he tries to protect Corey at all, if he flips back again, he's going to lose some with Anthony. He just keeps messing up everything over and over. So it's.
Yeah. Not to mention, again, the way he won the HOH makes him seem more like a threat in the competitions, which is also not great for him. So to be clear, Melissa did give these ratings pre-twist. She did not know that Corey was going to end up on the block. I did message her afterward saying what happened, and she did kind of look through her ratings, and she changed one of them. I don't know if it's like a fully thought out all of the ratings to see if they would all change, but she is partially changed them based on what happened, but these reasonings are all based on what was happening prior to the twist. She gave Mark a 3 as well. She says, Mark is a total flop. She says, maybe I'm being dramatic, but I'm mad. He gave up a great position to become one of Anthony's puppets with no agency or ability to think for himself. Now Esty's pissed, Damien's pissed, Adam's pissed, I'm pissed, everyone is pissed. There's no way he's getting enough jury votes now. Flop. There you go.
Well, I mostly agree with that, but I Mary, I don't know. Do you agree with me that I think that he can come back from this? I feel like a good, if he can survive this coming week, he wins an HOH, does something good on behalf of a few people, gets an ally or two, and makes a run at it.
Who is he ingratiating himself with?
I don't know.
He's not going to get Kira. You've seen him talk. He's not going to get Esty. He's not going to get Damien for putting Damien up
maybe
and then
Adam.
Refusing the corp. The most he could do, I think Mark's win case and his best, not even win case, but his best scenario at staying in the game is convincing Adam and Dane that he's a goat and that they can take him to the end. And that's his best case for staying in.
I don't know if I think he has too much pride to say that, though.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Yeah,
he wants. This is the opposite of what the opposite of his optimal, you know, goal is the, what he doesn't want what is best for him. And it's not good. The
he's
audience.
Not a Dr. Will. He can't sell that.
Yes. The audience is with us as well. The audience gave him a 3. So it's going to be straight 3s.
Oh,
for
my God.
Mark.
So many people. I want to know how many people bought Mark.
Yeah.
I know Ligori did, and he was the lowest rated of the pretty boys. So he looked like a pretty good buy. Mm.
I had him last week when he was at a 6. I went all in before that, and I like doubled all my money. And then I'm like, Mark, there's no way him winning HOH. This is going to be bad going downhill. Sold
you.
It all.
That was a wise decision.
Now, I put it all in SD, so that was probably a bad decision. But I did at least get rid of the mark.
There you go. All right, so let's talk about SD next. Last week, she averaged out at a 3, with me, the audience, and Melissa all giving her 3s. And Brent had her down at a 2. So let's start with Brent. Are you any higher on SD, or are you still down at a 2?
I have doubled my score on Esty, believe Ooh. It or not. I have given her a 4. And I will tell you why. Because I think that she was at her lowest last week. And this week, even though she's on the block, there's no freaking chance that she's going home. Okay. I do feel like that she has good social capital with some of the people in the house, that they would vote for her if she managed to get to the end. I still think that it may be a little bit of a Mark scenario where even though she hasn't won anything, she can win something. She is a part of this now. I do feel like that this group can bond together in their hate, not hatred, but their dislike of Corey and wanting to get her out of the house and really being mad at Mark and Corey and Anthony for wanting to protect Corey so much. Or not Corey wanting to protect Corey so much, but Mark and Anthony for wanting to protect her so much. That was the obvious move to them, was getting Corey out of the house. Mark didn't pull the strings. I do feel like they can bond in their mutual dislike of him. So I feel good about her placement in the house right now. And now with the possible breakup of the Pretty Boys, I don't want to overstate that because it's not there yet, but I do feel like that she will be very much like Kira on people's list of, you know, people that they want to get rid of. The other thing too is that Kiki's not on the jury, so people don't have to worry about her getting a vote from her. Only Sam is. So I feel like that no one's going to worry like, oh, she might be a jury threat. No. So I like her chances more than I did before, especially with the boys having problems now. I mean, if you're not in the group that's having problems, you're by definition going to benefit from it positionally wise. So I wonder if you agree with me, Taryn.
I
gave her a 3 last week.
I gave her a 3 last week, and I feel the same this week. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, actually. I think that she is well positioned to continue to be in the game. I think that she's being underestimated in mental competitions. I think that she can win some. The problem is her path to the end is so precarious. I think that she loses if she's up against Damien, probably. She loses if she's up against Dane, probably, and it's really hard to see her being there with anybody else. I think, and this is all what I felt about her last week. So I really don't think that much has changed. I don't think she's playing any better. I don't think her position is even that much better. If anything, it might have gotten worse if Damien had left. With Damien staying, I feel like it's just about the same. So I'm going to stick with my 3 personally. And I can tell you that Melissa felt very similarly. She says, I don't necessarily think she's playing any worse than last week, which is why I'm keeping my rating the same. So myself and Melissa are going to go with 3 for Esty. Mary, what do you think?
Yeah, I had written down a 3. I think that's what I had last week as well. Brent almost convinced me to go up to a 4, but I think the main thing is just that I just really don't see a whole lot of win potential. I mean, getting to the end somehow with Kira is about the only way I see a pretty good Esty win. I think the problem mostly is, you know, she didn't do anything to make herself go down, but it's really just that connection with Dane that I think is like 100% Esty's game. And that's the only thing that she can ride on. I just don't see her making a move that's anything outside of what he wants her to do. And I think that's just why she can't propel herself in this game.
I'm also, I didn't state this, part of my reasoning in giving her a 4 is that Dane is so good at all these competitions. He's not going to take a shot at her. He's going to keep her around. If she's around, you never know. Look, I'm sorry, not to beat it. Drum, but Paris won 2 competitions at the end of Big Brother 6 when we never saw it coming. Paris is often compared to Esty. So come on. I feel like this is not outside the realm of possibility that she could win a competition, look at the big pot of money and go, you know what, Dane, get out of here. I want to win.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, and like I said, I think she is being underestimated. She did well in the HOH that Chelsea won, which was a mental competition. So I think that she is underestimated in these mental competitions. However, I do think that with Adam getting closer to Damien, that if Adam wins and has the choice, he might go after Esty next, if he doesn't turn on the Pretty Boys, which would not be good for Esty. And again, her path to the end is very precarious. The audience is with Melissa, myself, and Mary. They said a 3 as well, which means that Esty is going to stay there at a 3. Mary not going to make any money on Esty, but you didn't lose any either.
You know what? I'm okay with that. I think it was a better option. And we'll see if everyone else goes down. Maybe it was the right choice.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Damien, who managed to get a 4 last week. I gave him a 3. Brent did as well. But Melissa and the audience both gave him 4s. So let's see if Damien can hold on to his rating. I can say for myself, I am going to stick with my 3. If he was going home this week, I would have said it's a 2. But given what just happened. And the fact that he has so many people in his corner, it is a three for me. I think that his social game is decent enough. I think that his strategic game is terrible. I think that he still has very little chance to win the game. I think it's very telling that when I interviewed Sam, she said that a lot of people were in front of him in terms of people that she would give her vote to, including Dane, Anthony, and even Corey. That's not looking great for Damien, who I thought would be a lock for a jury vote just because how like social he is. I think that Damien is a lot closer to the Paris where people might not respect him now, but if he got there, they might find reasons to because they like him so much. I don't think he's completely drawing dead with a jury vote, but I find no reason to go up on Damien from last week. If anything, I would have gone down, but for now I'm holding steady at a three. Mary, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm holding steady at a three. I think it's what we were talking about earlier with why he's not doing so well. It's just he's not trying. And I just don't see the drive to get him to the end. I mean, Damien is one of those people where even if he was in the end, what arguments is he going to make? What kind of fighting is he going to do? I just don't see him pulling anything out or doing anything major. He's got connections with, you know, Esty and a little bit Kira, but they're not the primary connections that those people have anyway. So no one's going to stick their neck out for him unless it's in order to get rid of someone else.
Yes. Brent?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, I really want to give him a two, but I gave him a three. I feel like a two is more apt though, because he hasn't done anything proactive in terms of his game. He's being actively saved by a twist, even though he can't take credit for the twist. And he popped off the mark earlier today, as did Esty, but I feel like Damien was worse in terms of making an enemy out of somebody, calling them stupid. And, you know, that's not going to really get you much at the end. And also listening to Sam's exit interview. What's his narrative? What's his story? There is none to me. So, I'll stick with the three, but it's really more of a two.
All right. Well, Melissa initially gave Damien a three, saying, "I'm still not positive Damien is going to leave this week." Melissa the Prophet, which is why she didn't want to bring the rating down too much. However, given what just happened, that Damien is probably safe now, she said she wants to change it and bring it up to a four for Damien. She's going to stick with her previous rating for Damien and go with a four. So, can Damien stay at a four? What did the audience think? The audience gave Damien a two.
Oh, well, good. Okay. Yes. That makes me feel better.
I literally just looked and I was like, whoa, not expecting that. You have to remember
just as fed up with him as we are.
Yes. You have to remember that the audience was expecting that Damien was a goner all day today. So that definitely has something to do with it. But ultimately this is going to keep Damien at a three, which I think is where he probably deserves to be. Anyway.
I think he deserves to be there. Yeah. You shouldn't be able to make any money off of Damien.
But in terms of cuteness, he's got tens.
He's got tens.
There you go.
Looks 10.
Why do you hate cute guys? Why? Let's move on to Adam. Let's talk about Adam. Mary, how do you feel about Adam?
I was up and down on Adam, and my main problem is I can't remember what I gave him last week, so I'm trying to factor that in. I think overall this is an improvement by the end of the week, but I think he's going to lose points for me given the fact that he handled his nomination so poorly, which, like, good for fighting, but he really lost, you know, a lot of, I can't even say like respect with Mark, because Mark put him up in the first place. So he put himself in a position where he was the one that Mark wanted to put up, which is not good. And then he didn't handle it well, and that made Mark even more upset with him. So I'm going to go with a five. I think he's right in the middle. I think he's doing okay. I think that he just isn't in the fight for the end in the same way that Anthony and Dane are. So I would have them higher. This is probably a really low score, but that's what I wrote down.
All right. Well, Melissa gave Adam a 6, saying Adam is a tricky one. He was in danger, so his score went down, but then he won the veto, so his score went back up. It would have been best for him to get Corey out this week, considering Damien is someone willing to work with him. I wonder if this is one that Melissa would have gone up on, considering what happened if she was given more time. But for now, it is going to be a 6 for Adam. That's just what happens when things happen right as we start the roundtable. Brent, how do you feel about Adam?
I gave him a 7 last week, and I'm going to go down a point this week. And I feel like that's what he deserves. He deserves the 6 this week.
It looks like you gave him a 6 last week.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Oh, you were the one who gave him a 7. I'm still giving him a 6. I thought I gave him a 7 last week, and that's why I said I was going down. So I'm going to give him. He needs to be at a 6, and here's why. Overall, I still have faith in his ability to not only get to the end of the game, but also win a jury vote. I think he's a really well-liked guy. Even the audience, Twitter likes Adam, which is crazy considering that he's a pretty boy. Not that that means anything, but I just feel like it shows his overall likability within the house. Obviously, Sam is on the jury, and she'll definitely vote for him. I also feel like Corey may vote for Adam if he's at the end. I feel like they've had an okay relationship, even though he's popped up to her a few times. I feel like at the end of the day, she respects him if he was able to make it to the end of the game. Depending on who's there, she could possibly vote for him if she is ultimately evicted. I'm talking like she's already gone, but I do feel like there's a good chance of that. He has made a few mistakes, though, so he can't go up. Handled the nomination badly. And not only that, but I do feel like this twist, Taryn, is not going to help him. Yes, it's going to save one of the pieces on the board, but that's a piece that really Dane has, not Adam himself. And Adam's going to take the rap for it with the majority of the house. So the people that are in the Pretty Boys who are not currently aligned with him, as far as this making this move goes in Mark and Anthony. So I feel like it has to be a 6.
Yes. I gave Adam a 7 last week. I believe I've been higher on Adam than everyone else for the entirety of the season, which is, yes, definitely true. And it's going to stay that way. I'm sticking with my 7 for Adam. I think that he continues to be a beast in these competitions, not somebody to be reckoned with. I think that the fact that he found this twist and probably found this twist and used it to his advantage, I think this is huge for him, that Corey is going to be be evicted here probably, and so I still feel very good about Adam. I think that his jury chances are very good. I think that he's probably not even a big target heading into next week. If people, even people like Esty and Damien, who might have gone after him, are now probably not going after him. Corey, who was going after him, is leaving the house. If Adam gets through one more week without having to win anything, he's down to the final 6, and you can definitely win out from the final 6 if you're somebody like Adam. And he still has allies like Kira, who I think is definitely capable of winning one of these mental competitions. So I don't think Adam should be counted out. I think that he's doing particularly well, especially with this twist. And so I'm going to stick with my 7. Not going to go up to an 8 yet, but Adam is somebody that the longer he stays, oh boy, that rating's going to continue to go up for me. So watch out for that. Dana's saying to the cameras, it wasn't me. Wasn't me.
Then it was definitely Adam.
Yes, yeah. Definitely was Adam. The audience has gone up on Adam. They gave him a 5 last week, and this week they gave him a 6. They actually came close to giving him a 7, which would have meant that for the first time, somebody would have been as high as me on Adam. But it is going to be a 6, which means Adam is, his overall score is going to remain there at a 6. So let's move on to Dane. Dane. I have thoughts about Dane. I think that Dane is the new frontrunner in this game, if he wasn't already. And I think that he is playing exceedingly well. As we talked about when I went through the state of the house, he is connected to every single person. He has the comp beasts on his side. He has the manipulators on his side. I literally just was reading through the Twitter stuff, and he had a conversation with Anthony reaffirming their final 2, talking about like, hey, we're still good, buddy. We're still good. Adam's the mean one. And so he is positioned in the best spot within the Pretty Boys. He has the jury on lock. He has people like Sam who is willing to vote for him in the final two. I feel very good. I feel very good about Dane. I think that he is our most likely winner of the season. Could I go with a 10? No, I'm not going to go with a 10. Come on. I'm going to go with a 9 for Dane here. I think he has definitely taken over the top spot from Anthony. I gave Anthony a 9 last week, and we'll see what I give Anthony this week, but I definitely think Dane is at a 9 here for me. Brent, what do you think?
I am with you on Dane, especially with this twist, and he didn't have to get any blood on his hands. And yeah, there might be a few people. Maybe Anthony in the back of his mind thinks it possibly could be Dane, but he really thinks it's Adam. He's got all the pieces on the board. He's got the likability. He's got the comp winning ability. He's got the manipulation ability. I feel like he knows when to hold him and when to fold him as far as pushing his arguments and when to back off a little bit, which Anthony doesn't have that gear. Although, to be fair, Anthony got his way this week. But on the other hand, I do feel like he lost a lot of social capital in doing so this week. So I gave Dane my highest score ever for this week. I'm giving him a 9. I feel great about his chances of winning overall. The only person who I can feel like can beat him is Adam. And Adam, I do feel like, would take Dane to the end. So
he could.
Who's going to take Dane out? It's crazy that this guy is so good and everybody loves him so much and he's so great at the competitions, and yet no one wants to get rid of him. No one. Like, even Mark didn't want to put him up on the block. Like, I thought Mark, if he wanted to go after the Pretty Boys, should have put up Adam and Dane to make sure at least one of them stays up there, or at least Dane could beat Adam in the veto. He didn't even do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Dane was he was a potential 9 from me before this twist happened. And I was thinking probably a 9 with the twist. It's definitely a 9. It's the positioning is great. I would, if he had made this happen without a twist making it happen, I would have given him a 10 based on how great, how well positioned he is. But he doesn't earn the 10 from me because it's a twist. Mary, how do you feel about Dane?
Yeah, I don't think it's 10. I'm trying to convince myself that there's any reason why it could be an 8 instead of a 9, just to mix things up. I don't know. I mean, I have an 8 written down here, but I agree with what you guys are saying. I think the main blind spot could potentially be Anthony. If Anthony gets on to Dane about what he's doing, I think some of that also factors into who actually did win this. If Adam did win this power to put Corey up, if Corey goes home and Anthony's so distracted with the Adam situation that he's just completely dropped Dane from his mind, that's a good thing for Dane. If he somehow is convinced, like Mark is, that Dane was the one who put Corey up, maybe that could be a problem. But yeah, I think I probably have to go with a 9. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was more of an 8 in the light of tomorrow.
All right. Well, Melissa did go with an 8 for Dane. This is another one. I'm not sure if she would have gone up given the new information, but she did go with an 8 here for Dane. She says, I think Dane ends up in a fine position this week. Obviously not amazing because Esty might leave. Not the case anymore. But I don't think his grasp on the house has changed all that much. If anything, I think him and Adam are now closer with Adam against Mark, which I think is definitely true. Again, he's best positioned within the Pretty Boys. He's best positioned outside of the Pretty Boys. He's great at competitions. He's not as threatening as Adam. Adam is a target, a shield in front of him. He's now got Mark as a bit of a shield. He's got, Anthony as somebody that is focused on Adam and all of this stuff. So lots of reasons to be high on Dane here. The audience has also gone up on Dane. The audience gave Dane an 8 this week, up from a 6 last week. The audience feels very good about Dane, which is going to bring him up to a 9. 9 average here for Dane.
How could I have known that I needed to switch all my Mark stock into Dane? Like, that would just seem to
a
move.
Exactly.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the Dane shares for the week. Corey is up next. Corey had a 3 last week. I gave her a 2. Brent and Melissa both gave her 3s, and the audience was up at a 4. I can tell you this week, I was going to stick with my 2. And now she's going home, and I'm still gonna stick to my 2. I feel like if she wasn't going home this week, I felt like she was going home next week. I don't think she's got much of a chance in this game. I feel very bad about it. I don't think she's quite a one. She is good enough at competitions. She is good enough at what she does in the house, whatever it is. But I'm gonna go with a two personally. There's really not much to say here about Corey other than the fact that she's probably going home at this point. Mary, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for the twist, I would have had a three, not because of anything Corey was doing, but just because of the connection with Anthony and that Anthony was protecting her so much. But the gameplay, lack of connections, fact that they're going home. Yeah, I'm going to go with a two.
Brent?
I was considering three or four before the twist, and now I'm like I feel like it's a three, maybe a two. But here's the thing. Hear me out on this, all right? So I still have yet to see Anthony not get his way openly in the house. And that still has not happened, even with the advent of this twist. Yes, somebody went against what Anthony wanted, but they did it behind his back. Are you really going to tell me that Dane is not going to do what Anthony says? That Dane's openly going to defy him and say, no, I'm going to vote your girl out of the house. I don't feel like it's a done deal that she's leaving the house. And I do feel like there is a small, albeit narrow path for her moving forward, especially with the boys. I know that's a little bit redundant.
On the feeds right now, just in case you want this information before you say your number. Dane has told Anthony that he will be voting Corey out. It doesn't make sense for his game to keep her. And he also has said to the cameras, there's no way he's keeping Corey. Just happened.
So. He has plenty outs this week. He can blame everyone else for wanting Corey out. And just
that's fair.
Along with it.
I'm going to stick with it. And here's why, because there are still 3 days to go. I'm sorry. Anthony has shown consistently an ability to get his way. I feel like he's going to work on him. He's not going to take this lying down. Anthony never takes things lying down. So until I see Anthony not get his way openly in the house, I feel like you have to give him a little credit for always getting it. So it's a three for me.
All right, there you go. A three from Brent. And Melissa also went with a three. She had the opportunity to change from a three to a two given the events of the twist, but she said, no, I'm going to stick with my three for Corey. She said, Corey is such a terrible puppet player with unjustified confidence. I don't even want to talk about her.
Your Melissa impression is not as good as some of your other ones, but
I'm just trying to channel the anger. There you go. Corey, though, with two threes is almost, unless the audience went with a one, going to remain here at a three, which might be one of the higher prices for somebody that gets evicted. What did the audience go with Corey? The audience went with a three for Corey. So there right. you go.
Yep, that was pre-twist, though. But I still feel like they're with me on this. But I feel like if they knew what we know now, they'd be down at it, too.
Yeah, I would assume so. Very similar ratings from last week, actually, where I gave her a two. Both Brent exactly and Melissa gave her a three, except the audience has gone down from a four to a three.
Oh, that's right. They actually liked her a little bit last week, but not as much as this week, though.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about Anthony. Because this is a very curious one, because for me, my whole thing coming into this was I think that Dane is winning the war, but Anthony is winning the battles. I have more faith in Anthony moving forward, but I think Dane is better positioned. So I was going to give Dane probably a nine, and I was going to give Anthony probably a nine, saying, you know what? I think that Anthony might be losing this war, but I still have a lot of faith in him. And just because he's facing stiff competition in Dane, that doesn't mean that he's playing any worse. So I wanted to not have to punish him for Dane doing so well, but now with this twist, and not necessarily due to a ton of fault of his own, but he has been kind of crippled by this. I hate to say it, but like Anthony was a little bit screwed by a twist here.
Say it, Taryn.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it all year.
Right. And basically what I was going to say with Anthony was he's maybe at a nine right now, but Anthony is the opposite of Adam, where the longer Anthony stays here without like solidifying an end game plan, the more his score is going to drop, because I feel like that's his biggest weakness. He needs something to change, and now he needs something to change even more dramatically. I'm not going to go too far down on Anthony yet, because I do still have faith in what he's been able to do. Every untwist-aided battle has gone to Anthony, and so I'm not going to say I've lost confidence in him. I'm going to go with an 8 for Anthony, but I'm going to say that with a caveat of if something doesn't change, he is on the same downward spiral. He is going to run out of runway, just like Damian is running out of runway, just like all of these other players, people like JC. He is on that trajectory, and his score will be going down if he doesn't change something up soon, Brent.
Yes, although I do feel like that there's somebody who's going to be more likely to be evicted than him in Mark.
Yes.
If somehow they are in trouble. I went with a 7, so I went lower than you because I gave him a 9 last week, but I do feel like that he, even though he won the battle this week, now with this twist, basically that's negated, and he's lost the war overall. I really don't, like, who's taking him to the end? I just can't see who is going to take him to the end. Corey was going to, maybe now Mark can, but that's, I mean, Mark might be evicted before he's able to do that. And then if he has nobody to take him to the end, then what's he doing there? I feel like that he's been shown to be a little bit irrational. Like, even though these people eventually, Mark, I'm talking about, did what he said, and Dane stopped fighting him and said, okay, you know, like, you know, if you feel that way, that's okay. I do feel like they have to see what we see, which is that Anthony can be a little bit unhinged at times. And I don't feel like that's a good look for him moving forward. Not somebody you can necessarily depend on. So I give him a 7. And I feel like that's probably apt for where he is in the house right now. Because of this twist, he's probably losing Corey unless he can fight for it. Look, if he's able to save Corey, I mean, it's like, I don't want to say it's tens across the board, but that's really freaking amazing. It's amazing to me how one person going home by way of a twist is really altering his trajectory in the game. Because not to be a dead horse, but he got his way again. And it made sense for all of these people to want to campaign to Mark and say, hey, let's take out Corey. And yet still Mark went with what Anthony told him to do, which is keep Corey off the block. So he's a pretty amazing player. But overall, I feel like the week was a bad week for him, especially now with this twist. So it's got to be a 7.
Yes. Mary, what do you think?
Yeah, so I think the two biggest things that went poorly for Anthony this week, that, yeah, he is impressive in the fact that he basically got his way pre-twist, except for at, like, what cost? When everyone is saying they want Corey up and you fight and you win and you keep Corey from going up, but now everyone is upset about that, that's not worth it, in my opinion. I mean, Anthony could have... I would have been more impressed if Anthony had sacrificed Corey and then spent the rest of the week building up a new relationship, a new Corey that he could have worked with. That would have been impressive. And so on that note, the other thing that I think was poor was this, basically for the last week and a half, he has dropped the huge connection he had with Kira low. And that is like, that was what he could have done. He could have dropped Corey and brought in Kira, who he had kept for so long, but because he's Adam with Sam and is spending all his time with Corey, he lost track of that relationship. And that was probably the better one to go to the end with. You know, Corey was more beneficial in that she actually could win challenges, but it's just the cost of losing him or losing Corey or fighting for Corey when everyone else does not want Corey in the house. I feel like this joke has already been made, but yes, it just came up again. So I went with a 7. I honestly had written down 6 to 7, but I think just because of what you guys are saying about, you know, Anthony has yet to really not get his way, besides this twist, there is that fraction of a chance that he can somehow flip one person, keep Corey here, and that would be okay. But yeah, I'm going to go with a 7.
Yes, I mean, Anthony was moving in one direction, and he had chosen that direction. It was a risky one because he was isolating himself from the rest of the house, but he succeeded. He managed to win that battle, and now the battle has been taken away from him, and now he has to retreat and regroup. And is he capable of that? Is he capable of regrouping and going with a different strategy than the one he was going down? He needs to make peace with Adam. He needs to get back in with the pretty boys. He needs to start playing them. He's so good at manipulating people. And yet the people that are going to be in the end, he has neglected. He has Mark. He needs to get Dane back on board. He needs to get Adam on board. He needs to put away his feud with him and really start working these relationships. And I think he's capable of it. I think he has the tools. Is his ego able to handle it, though? That's, I think, a legitimate question. So we'll have to wait and see. Melissa did give Anthony a 9. This is one that I feel like might have changed if she had more time to think about it, given the events of this twist. She says, I wanted to change up Anthony's rating this week, but there are factors which end up keeping it the same. She says, he would have gone down because I thought he fought a bit too hard for Corey this week, basically ensuring a rift forms within the Pretty Boy Alliance, but it turned out okay for him because he now has two loyal puppet garbage minions, Corey and Mark. Not so much the case anymore, but
she didn't change your ratings.
She did not end up changing this one. I think, again, like she kind of did this one on the spot. So stuck with a 9 there for Anthony. And the audience went with a 7. For Anthony. This is even pre-twist. The audience already went down to a 7 from an 8 last week. They were not feeling great about what was happening there with Anthony. So I don't think the 9 will change too much. Maybe this would have gone down to a 7 overall if Melissa had also gone down to a 7. But for now, Anthony's overall average is going to remain here at an 8. Finally, let's move on to Kira. Kira last week had an average of 4, with myself and the audience giving them 3s, and Brent and Melissa gave them 4s. Mary, let's start with you. How do you feel about Kira?
Yeah, I think Kira is, I'm debating between a 4 and a 5. I mean, I think I'm going to go with a 4 still, just because of the lack of compatibility and the win rate being lower, but I think Kira is in that spot that you think Mark might be in, where I think Kira is a pretty locked in jury goat. I don't see a lot of people wanting to get Kira out before any of these other people. I mean, I could see at least one, if not potentially even two of the pretty boys going before Kira does, just depending on who wins HOH. So yeah, Kira hasn't done anything in particular this week to really improve their own game. I think that the best thing you could really say for Kira is that going against Corey, and now the fact that the twist happened and Corey's on the block has united a group of people that includes Kira in it. So that's good for Kira. But even when you look at that group, you know, SD, Damien, and Dane all seem closer together than Kira is. So yeah, I'm going to stick with the 4.
All right, Brent, what do you think?
I gave them a 4, and I think I also gave them a 4 last week. Sorry, yeah. It's so hard to see this. Yes, I did. Look, it's so hard to rate someone who, you know, I feel like they're a lock to get to the end of the game, but on the other hand, they aren't doing anything proactively to do that. In fact, I feel like they're like becoming a little bit of a Karen. Karen, God, mm-hmm. I love you. You know I do, woman. But pushing somebody else to the end of the game on behalf of the fans. And I feel like that's what they are doing insofar as Adam goes. Like, Kira really wants Adam to get to the end of the game. I don't know if in the end, like, they would actually choose Adam over the money and like literally take him to the end if given the chance. But I think it's within the realm of possibility that it might actually happen. Mm-hmm. So that is troubling. But on the other hand, I don't think anybody is coming for them, and they could win one of these fluky comps. I feel like there are fluky comps. But yeah. Then on the other hand, in the past, we've always gone from 8 to 5 in a flash. So who knows what's actually going to come up now that there's no triple eviction coming. So I feel like it's a 4 for Kira. It's so hard to rate them because there's so many like opposing forces within their game. Like, I don't feel like they're doing anything for their game. But on the other hand, by virtue of that, they're not going to go anywhere. So
yes.
What do you want from me?
Yeah, I feel the same. I did go up from last week with Kira. I felt like there was a chance that they could go home this week. I feel like they have survived that. They are now pretty solidly in the GOAT position. However, Mark is starting to compete with them in that regard. Mark is starting to look like a pretty good GOAT as well, which is not great for Kira. So that's something to consider. However, I think like Esty, Kira is being dramatically, unlike Esty, I think it's even more dramatic, dramatically underestimated in the mental competitions. Kira did pretty well in that days comp, and they were only a couple of questions behind Mark. They know their days pretty well. They know these questions, and some of these, as Mark talks about, are things like true and false, A or B. If you get one wrong, you're out. Those are a lot more crapshooty than these point total question competitions where the person who knows more is almost always going to win. Kira could absolutely win one of these competitions down at the final five, at the final four, in that sort of Paris spot, at which point, they could have a little bit of that underdog factor. Now, all of that said, I don't think that their jury potential is great at the moment. You have even people like Sam saying that she would vote for Dane over Kira right now. Obviously, that is very subject to change given what happened last season. But I still don't feel quite good enough to say that they're playing an average game. They're definitely playing a goat game. They're being taken to the end and they're going to have to luck out in order to win. So it's going to be a four for me because I do see that as a possibility. I do think that they could beat somebody like Mark if that happened. It's a four. It's a four for me. Melissa did go up to a five for Kira. Melissa said,
feeling it this
yes. Melissa says, Kira's position in the house is on the rise. We knew this day would come. People don't want to waste an HOH on Kira, and they're a perfect final two goat, says Melissa. So there you go. Melissa is up to a five. I don't know if I don't know if I'll ever get up to a five with Kira unless they're like in the final three, at which point maybe they'll be up to a final five, but I don't know. It's just, it's a tough one. I feel like, even if they win, they're like a four winner. You know what I mean? So this might be the cap for me, but who knows? The audience did go up to a four from a three last week. So it is going to remain here with an average of $4 a share for Kira, a four overall average. I think that's pretty correct at the moment. So there you go. That's the Stockwatch. Let's give a quick recap here. Mark down at a three, Esty at a three, Damien at a three, Corey at a three. And then you have Kira at a four. You have Adam at a six, Anthony at an eight, and Dane at a nine. There you
go. So you lost money if you were buying Mark stock or Damien stock or Anthony stock.
Yes.
And you made money only if you bought Dane stock.
Yep.
And is there anybody else?
No, I think Dane is the only one that rose here.
Yes. So you had to buy somebody who was effectively at, how much was Dane at before?
$7. Yes.
You gave him an eight though. So yeah, that's amazing. Wow.
There you go. All right. So let's go over this. Let's talk about the choices that were made in the Stockwatch. I'll start this one off.
Thank you. I find what I did.
Yes. Alexandra says, how convenient. And that's because I did buy Dane stock.
Oh, yes.
I went.
Did you really?
All wow. in no on way. Dane.
That's good for you.
There's no way.
Yes. Rigged.
He knows the spoilers.
I really find this interesting because every time I'm forced to buy stock, I have to really think about the game in a more detailed way than I'm even used to thinking about, where I have to go through literally every scenario of each HOH winner and like who will they target? And if a veto is won by a certain person, what will that target mean? Who could that land on? What would that do to their stock price? I thought about buying Esty because Esty was so cheap and I could buy a lot of Esty. The profit margin there was even much higher than Dane. But the problem with Esty was that there were few scenarios where I saw her going up. I thought of one scenario. If Damien wins the HOH and ends up taking out Kira, because if he put up Kira and Adam, which was his likely nominations, Kira would probably go home in that instance. Kira goes home and Damien does it. That's great for Esty because Esty takes over the Kira spot and Esty probably goes up to a four. And I felt like that would probably be a great profit margin for me, but I had to take the risk. I felt like Dane was the safer option because he's more expensive. The opportunity for lost costs, losses is higher in the sense that he could drop a lot further, but I didn't feel like Dane was ever going to drop a lot because he was not anybody's target. And so even if he dropped 1 point, I'd only lose $28 because I could only buy 28 of him. Turns out, because I went with the safe option, I got lucky and his position in the house really rose. And so I'm going to make a $56 profit on those Dane shares. So there you go.
That is really, really cool. I am so jealous of you because I made no money this week.
All right, let's move over to Brent's.
Thank God I didn't buy Mark. I know people who bought Mark and they're in trouble. Like I honestly don't know if there's anybody in the history of the stock watch who's lost, maybe Bailey, who lost that much money, but we were doing things differently back then where you like had to do all your buying and selling on the show. So you didn't really like, you knew to get out of Bailey before then. So, I didn't buy any Mark. Thank God. In fact, I sold all of my Mark stock ahead of this week. Thank God. I would have been beside myself if I'd actually kept it. I said, sell all of my Mark stock. And that was $78 plus my $20 in stipend means I have $98 more to spend. I said to Alexandra, buy 32 more shares of Corey. That means I will own 45 shares of Corey. Only total. I don't know why I said only total. I think I meant that's the only one I own. 45 shares of Corey total is what I have. And I have $2 in leftover cash. So I will remain at my net worth, which is, what, 137, I'm guessing? Corey's at $3.
Well, you gained $20 with the week. So you're now at 155, it says.
Really? Okay. Well, whatever.
So there you go. So yes, because Corey did remain the same, right? That's what happened. Corey did not go down. Man, you know, in some ways, I think you got unlucky with this twist, but in also some other ways, if this twist had happened earlier, I feel like the audience would have, it was a close vote there with Corey at a three. So, Corey might have gone down to a two and you would have lost.
I felt good going into tonight because like I said, I was between four and five for Corey because I felt like, you know, you have to give points for their ability to win competitions and being attached to, I don't know why I'm saying there, her ability to be attached to the right person in Anthony, who has shown an ability to literally rule over the house with an iron fist, the Lord of the North, but unlucky with the twist. And I feel like you think about things in a good way. Not only was Dane somebody who was least likely to be nominated or, you know, targeted by anybody insofar as winning HOH, but I also feel like that Dane is somebody who's least likely to be targeted by anybody in a twist, you know, when people have the advantage of anonymity. That was definitely a good buy. I think the question at this point is, can either myself or Melissa, probably me, can we catch you at the end? Or can you cover all of your bases and buy all of the house guests? That's what I wanted.
Part of what makes this so interesting is that, and what makes me think about it so hard every week is that every week is another chance to lose everything if you go in on the wrong person, because you have to invest all of your money. It's all out there. And if you choose the wrong person, you might lose, and you can diversify if you want, but it's tough. You know, you're going to lose at least somewhere. And if you diversify, you're probably not going up in any way. And if you're not going up, that might be the same thing as losing if other people are going up. So I could easily go all in on somebody next week and then, they're targeted, or maybe there's a twist and they're on their way out and I lose $2 a share and that's like all of my money blown. You never know. You never know. Yep. Let's talk about what Melissa did here. She warned me ahead of time.
Does she own everybody now? That's what I wanted to know.
she said that she sucks at this. Maybe she's just a curse.
She needs to find somebody. Like, just have Ligori do it for her. Like, he knows what the fuck he's doing. Come on.
I don't know. Didn't Ligori go all in on Mark or something?
Well, like, at least it was an aggressive move.
Yeah.
She's putting herself in a position where she can't win.
She also bought Mark this week and some more Damien, which was a bad combination.
So two people that went down.
Yes.
She managed to lose money on two house guests this time. Okay.
I don't know. I didn't see any Damien purchases here. Maybe she just held on to Damien. That's what she meant. But it looks like she sold Esty and Sam, it looks like, and then bought some Mark. And that is going to lead to some losses here.
I want to say she only sold Sam because I told her to. I'm like, home. So you might want to sell her.
She really, I hope she has a financial advisor.
She needs one. Y'all need to help her. I need competition. I need somebody to beat Taryn with me. Come on.
Yes. So there you go. That was the Stockwatch. Mary, what decisions did you make in the Stockwatch? You said you bought Esty, right?
Yeah. So I think I should have remained the same. I'm trying to look right now and figure out how much money I have, but I don't know if this is fully updated. I had a bunch of Mark stock. Everything was in Mark. Mark went up. Put it all in Esty. So I think I should be at the same. So I think I'm at least doing better than Melissa.
There you go. Melissa looks like she is at 84 net worth at the moment. Brent is at 155 and I am sitting here at 272.
Somebody in the chat like said you had like a $40 lead. I'm like, y'all are nuts. Like that can't be right. Yeah, yes. So you're at 272 and I'm at 155.
So yeah, almost a $120 lead. Now that's pretty significant, but the end still matters a lot because the winner pays out at $10 a share. So all you need to do is go all in on the winner and you can make a hefty profit if you want, more than enough to cover any lead that I have at the moment, probably. So, you know,
I don't know. Still it's an option. Up there. You might, of course, then again, as we get toward the end, the ratings are going to get more expensive. Yes. So there's that as well. Yeah.
So there you go. I wish I had the Reddit and patron leaderboards. I think Alexandra just said that Liguori was sitting at the top of the patron standings up until this week. And I know that there are some people on Reddit who are doing very well as well. So we'll definitely keep up with them toward the end of the season.
I would like to know, we were going to give a shout out to the person who won the patron.
Yes. We were going to, but then it never happened. I never found out who won.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, we'll do that this time then.
Yeah, people were not as into it during Celebrity, but lots of people are into it now. Alexandra says that she thinks that Brian Scally is now in the lead. There you go, Scally.
Oh, Scally, good for you.
Doing work.
Yes.
I can't look up the Reddit stuff right now, but...
You haven't followed Scally on Twitter. You really should, Brian Scally, because like his tweets during Survivor and Big Brother just really make me laugh. Like he had this tweet about, oh God, what's her name? Julie, when she was like going over to the other side, when she was like, I'm leaving my alliance and I want to jump ship. And like, it was this woman like, you know, getting in her car and speeding away. He just, all the stuff he does. Oh, RuPaul's Drag Race as well. Makes me laugh. I'll see him tomorrow when we go to Philadelphia. We're going to Philadelphia.
Yes. Did you know that? Yes. Yeah. Tomorrow, I've got to do an early live feed update tomorrow morning so I can get to Philly.
Bless you. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you're actually doing that tomorrow? All right.
All right. So there you go. That is the Stockwatch for the week. It's going to be a tough decision for next week. It's so hard. I literally have to sit there and think for so long about these decisions. And I'm like, oh man, but what if Damien wins and then Esty goes up and I've lost out all that profit? Everyone else is going to go so much higher than me. It's crazy.
It's really only me. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. that is my one saving grace, is that I don't have to be as aggressive because I only have to beat Brent. And
thanks, Melissa. And Melissa. Appreciate it. Get with the program.
Alexandra says that she will be there in Philly. That's awesome.
Woo.
We can all thank her in person because she does a wonderful job manning all of this Stockwatch stuff.
She is doing great. And I did know that she was going to be in Philadelphia. I've gotten many tweets, direct messages from a few different people who I'm going to see there. So see me at the casino. I found out that the casino is only like, Taryn, it's literally 4 minutes from where we are staying at. So I'm like, I could walk to the casino every night.
So Brent will be staying at the casino.
Right.
there you go. All right, let's talk about some of these other questions here on the survey. I asked how you would rate the episodes of Big Brother Canada this week. Last week it was at a 4.9, and this week at a 5.5. People are up on this week of the season. This is the highest rated season rated week for the episodes in the last, I believe, like 3 or 4 weeks. So people coming around on the season here, Mary.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fine. The episodes have been... I haven't been watching the episodes, I'm sorry. I've only been watching the live reads, so I can't tell you. Well, can't tell you if it's good or not.
There you go. I also asked you to rate the feeds, and they received a 5.6, also pretty high. It was a 4.9 as well last week, and this is also going to be the highest rated week of feeds since potentially they started, at least back to the last four surveys. So people, this has been a good week. This has been a little bit of a comeback week for the show, I think, Brent.
Yeah, it has been. Although you never know if production is playing games behind the scenes to get what they want moving into this coming week. Our friend Stina Nitz on Twitter says, I feel like production pushed Mark a bit in the DR to put up Esty to get their good TV moment last night when Dane, and I saw this, wanted to campaign. He got good night house guests every 10 seconds. Then this morning, they rushed the hell out of that veto ceremony. So production, they know what they're doing, Taryn. Come on.
All right. So I also asked, how would you rate the season as a whole so far? Last week it was a 4.5. It has jumped up to a 4.8. It's nearing nearing average.
Yeah. Okay.
There you
I
go.
Guess it's average. Yeah. Were we doing this during Big Brother Canada 6 or not?
Not during Canada 6. No, we started it during BB 20, right, which was at like an 8.8 all season long. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
So,
because I feel like 6 was amazing. Okay.
Yes. I also asked you to rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. And I can tell you that for the first time in the history of asking this question, there has been a change in the top spot for your favorite player without that person leaving the house.
It's because Damien isn't playing the game. He's just like sitting around looking pretty. And although that's nice, that's not what we want
to
see.
Yeah, he needs to be pretty and a boy at the same time.
Right?
But exactly. He's not a pretty boy.
Mm, yeah, exactly. So as the chat is accurately guessing here, Adam has taken the top spot. Who knew preseason that Adam would be the season favorite in the final eight? Mary, I would not have known.
No, I mean, even, you know, with the showmance and everything, people don't generally love that factored in there. But I think losing Sam has helped his popularity at the very least.
Yeah. And he has also helped, I think, it looks like Kira, who has been in last place all season long, is finally out of last place, third to last now, and not last. The person, do you want to guess, Mary, the person that's taken over last place?
I mean, I would put Esty at last place, but I don't know if that's true.
I think it has to be Corey.
It is Corey.
Is it Corey?
Yes. Yeah. Corey and Mark now occupy the last two places, then Kira, then Esty. And then the top four are Adam, followed by Damien, then Dane, and Anthony in fourth place. So
in terms of watchability, like, Mark's at least more entertaining than some of the other people.
Yeah, it's fair. So there you go. Lots of shifting in the favorite player stuff. It's very interesting to me. You know, you have people, I mean, Anthony was in third place last week. Dane was down fourth to last, and now Dane is third and Anthony is fourth. Mark was solidly in the middle. Now he's all the way down toward the bottom. Just lots of changes. Adam was fourth last week. As early as last week, Adam was in fourth place, and now he has taken the top spot from Damien. What are you going to do? I also asked you guys to rank the players in order of who is strategically best for Mark's game to target this week. The top answer on this one was Corey, which I don't really agree with.
Wrong. Are y'all watching the same show?
I think this is what the audience wants him to do, but I don't think it was necessarily the best move for him.
That sucks. Usually the people that respond to your poll are smarter than this. Like, you guys aren't reading the question.
I really tried to put in as many strategically best Mark's game, but what are you gonna do?
They're like, no, Taryn, we're gonna vote for who we want.
Second was Dane. They felt like Dane was the next best target. Third was Adam. Fourth was Anthony. People really felt like Damien, Esty, and Kira were not great targets for Mark, which, you know, I think that Dane probably should have been his target. How does he get Dane out? He can't. So maybe he shouldn't go after Dane. But at the very least, I do think trying to take some kind of shot, or at the very least, apart from that, trying to play within the pretty boys and be a better player and not piss off the house. There's so many options that he could have done that would have been better than what he did. Unfortunately, there wasn't a button that said, just don't piss off the house. Like, just don't do what he did. Anything but what he did. That's the top spot. All right.
So I think Mark's best move would have been don't be HOH. What are you doing?
Yes. I should start putting that as an option. I feel like most of the time that's going to be the odd.
It really is. It's the best option. Always do that.
We did get some more from Christina, who sent some more statistics here about the HOH wins. So Christina said, like I said before, between both the non-Celebrity Big Brothers, Corey is tied with Bailey for the second lowest price during an HOH week, only behind Fessy and Big Brother 20's Sam. And then she also says Corey is also tied with Fessy and Scotty for the second biggest drop in price during their HOH week, with a $2 decrease the week they won HOH. Bailey has the highest drop, $4 drop from 7 to 3. And Dane's second HOH is the highest increase at $5 going up to 7, a $2 increase during Dane's HOH week. So that's interesting. Christina says, even though winning HOH has the potential to significantly improve a player's game, only 5 out of 15 non-Celebrity Big Brother non-week 1 HOHs, which is 33% of them, have resulted in a price increase from the previous week. So only 33% of HOH winners have increased their standing in the game, according to us and the audience. Conversely, 7 of those HOH wins, 47%, have resulted in a decrease in price. So more HOH wins are doing damage to players' games than actually helping them out. I feel like that's pretty representative of how we feel about HOH wins on the whole here.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes, unless you really know what you're doing. I think I can't remember who it was, but there's they've often said that there's no business winning HOH. You need to have allies who can do what you want for you, not only so you don't get the blame necessarily yourself, but so that you can have the ability to play in other HOHs. Steve Moses, even though he won HOH the first time, you know, in a total fluke, ended up targeting somebody that basically nobody really cared about, had no business evicting Jackie, but he still got rid of a piece off the board that was going to hinder him and his alliance moving forward. So unless you can pull off something like that, you probably don't have any business winning HOH, even if you're able to go after your big target and get them out. Unless you're able to fade into the background, you're probably going to do damage to your game.
Yeah, you need to know what you're doing. If you win HOH, it is a double-edged sword. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to cut yourself. And that's what happens with a lot of these players. And you only see people like Dane, who knows what he's doing. He is able to use an HOH to better his game. Most of these other people have just dramatically tanked during their HOH because they don't know what to do with it, Mary.
This is the week to week, though. I would be curious to know, looking into that stat of the people who went down or up, what percentage of those people or how that correlated to their winning the game as well. Because, they could go down in a week but end up winning and vice versa. So I'd be interested to know if that matters in the long run as much or if it's just a stock thing. Yeah. Also, breaking news, I am in a 5-way tie for 5th place among the patrons. So getting there.
There you go.
Okay. I do have more money than Melissa, though.
All right. Yeah, it would be interesting to see how the price, if the price goes back up after the dip during their HOH, or if it stays down after their HOH. That'd be interesting to track as well there. Looks like Alexandra says Brian Scally is in the lead in the patron group with $212. Wow, that means I'm beating the patron group, beating all of you guys.
Yeah, well, you have the spoilers. We've established this.
Yes, I know everything. All right. So I also asked you to rank the players from who you think Sam is most likely to vote for to who she's least likely to vote for in the final two. I asked Sam to do this herself. So if you disagree with her, if you think you have a better read on Sam than she does, which could very much be true given what happened last season, that you are going to, give your opinion here. So top spot is obviously Adam. That's what she said as well. Second place was Dane. That is also what she said. Third place, very close behind Dane, is Kira. That's still in line with what Sam is saying. Now, Brent, do you buy that Sam will vote for Dane if he's sitting next to Kira?
No, actually, I don't. You ultimately vote for the people that you like. And even though she does respect Dane, I think that here's the thing about Kira. I think that their ability to lose a jury vote has been vastly overstated. I feel like that if they actually get to the end, there's a story that they have, a narrative that they have about, you know, hey, nobody believed in me. I knew I could do it. Being the first non-binary house guest to win Big Brother, that's a thing that could actually help. I don't know if they're willing to use it or not, but it's certainly out there in the ethos. I don't necessarily buy that. That may be the way she feels right now, but it also may be that she just wants to come off not looking bitter, unlike the people from last season when they voted for Paris.
Well, I can say that Sam, in my conversation with her, did seem very, very fine with like how things went in the game. She seemed like she really did care about voting for the better player. I think it depends on how Kira gets there. I think that she's currently looking at it like if Kira does get there, it's because they're dragged there. But if Kira wins competitions and makes their own path to the end, I do think that they would get some respect from Sam, and Sam might then choose to vote for Kira over Dane. Although in that circumstance, Kira would likely not be sitting next to Dane, because I can't imagine Kira would pick Dane over anybody else. I think even Adam would probably be picked over Dane. So not likely going to be tested here. The audience then said Anthony in fourth place, which is also what Sam said. Then they started to change up here a little bit. Next, Sam said Corey after Anthony. Corey is actually down at the bottom from the audience's perspective, right down there with Mark. So the audience thinks Damien and Esty would both get votes over Corey and Mark, even though Mark was ahead of Esty and Corey was ahead of Damien. I have to say, I kind of agree with the audience on this one. I think that that the more the game has gone on, the less respect people have had for people like Corey and Mark. Look, Corey's leaving this week probably, so it won't even matter. But I also kind of agree here with Mark. What do you think, Mary?
Yeah, I had Mark and Kira lower down, or not Kira, Mark and Corey lower down on Sam's list than Sam did. Yep. I think I bumped up Esty a little bit, because I think, especially in light of finding out that Esty and Adam are getting a little closer, that would probably be good. I think it's real easy to figure out who's going to be on the bottom of Sam's list. It's just whoever votes Adam out and is the reason that he went home.
There you go. I also asked, from what you've seen so far, are you for or against this archive room twist? So we're gonna get the follow-up results for this one next week. But prior to the twist that happened 5 minutes before the roundtable started, people were not super into it. 34 out of 100 against.
I can't even believe it's that high. I mean, maybe they were voting for it because they thought it did nothing, like, because we didn't know what the hell was going on. We didn't know how it was going to impact anything. Was it going to be another, like, pick your favorite bed for Kira or Kiki or whatever? I mean, like, come on. 34%, that's kind of stunning to me. I have to think that they're voting because they are like, well, it didn't mess with the integrity of the game. Maybe that's what they were talking about, because that's just generally how I feel like the people who respond to your poll feel. But now that it has upended everything and basically made everybody happy. Again, it didn't really make me happy, because I'm kind of mad that, you know, Anthony put on all this work and he actually did get to happen what he wanted to have happen in terms of Corey not being on the block. Now that all that's been undone by this twist, I'm kind of pissy about it. But overall, people that are living for the feeds, they're happy about it, especially now that the fallout from the twist might be the impetus that we need to split up the pretty boys. So we'll see.
Yeah. I can't help but feel like this might be a thing where people are more into it now that they've seen the result, and people are kind of like applauding it right now, but it might be the point at which we look back at the season and say, this is where it really just locked in Dane's win. This is where, you know, he was in this battle against Anthony, and they crushed Anthony with this twist, and he didn't stand a chance afterward. And it would have been more exciting if we had seen this play out a little more, in kind of the same way that everyone applauded when Scotty came back into the game in Big Brother 20. But really, it was just kind of signaled the end of the season. I worry that that is the case here with this twist. Did I want to see Corey go up on the block? Yeah, but do I like that this is coming because of a twist and that Anthony is kind of screwed by this? Definitely not. And I also don't like that that Dane is really, really looking like who is how can he be stopped at this point? It's hard to even see. So
like they're not even talking out loud about, you know, hey, we might need to get rid of this guy. He's so good. He's so well liked by everybody. He can win anything. Like, nobody's even saying that, much less thinking about evicting him. Dane, I'm talking about.
Yeah. Crazy. I want to buy more Dane stock, like, but he's already so high priced.
They're keeping Kira in the house, the house guest overall, because they're like, well, that's a waste of an HOH, you know, like, why would you want to get rid of Kira? Because obviously they're not going to win at the end. And, you know, but you have somebody who's also in the house with you who will win at the end, and nobody's even thinking about taking him out. Just nuts to me.
It's nuts.
I wonder if I've been kind of brainwashed from listening to this. I think I have been, you know, I've just been brainwashed by all y'all hating the twists and me thinking, ah, I have to rate all the twists so low because everybody, that's what the good feed watchers feel and the people who are really into the show. So,
or just the people with style, you know.
Right, sure.
Look, it's just because people who don't like twists are really smart, and so people just hear them out and they listen to them, and it's not like they're controlled by anyone.
Mary, you need to be like me. You like the twists if they give you what you want. That's what I say.
Yeah, Bill in the chat. Don't, we brainwashed.
Don't let Brent ruin you with results oriented thinking.
Oh no, I'm very results oriented. Remember, it's my decision to sell Mark was extremely great and smart minded in the time.
Yes. All right. Well, I also asked, wow, this is wrong. This is the first time this has been a wrong question here. Who do you want to be evicted this week? Damien or Esty? People said Esty.
You always have a third option in there. Cover your bases for all the twists. Just have third option,
just in case.
Just put everybody on there.
I'm willing to bet that if Corey was on there, it would have been all Corey.
Oh yeah,
it seems like that's the general consensus that people were really into this.
Yeah, Corey's the bad guy, and SD and Damien are the good guys as far as the fandom is concerned.
Yes. So I want to thank Adam for helping my stock watch potential. He's really helped me out, not only with the stock watch, but he also just saved me with the draft too. If Corey leaves, that means I still have all four people in the draft there. I thought I was going to lose the first one.
That's right. And Melissa has Anthony, who is her one saving grace, but now he's looking a little dicey as far as endgame goes. Yeah. By the way, I think that the one thing that really, really saves this twist for the fandom is not only that Corey's on the block, but when Mark was getting, you know, shit on by Damien Esty earlier today, it was just like we were all living for that. The fact that they weren't talking behind his back like they normally do. They were trolling him to his face and saying, Mark, this is such a pussy move. Can't believe you're doing this. This is weak. You're a coward. It was beautiful. Good stuff.
Yeah. There you go. So that's what we've got for you. Again, I think the stock watch is just so much fun in terms of how it makes you think about like what could improve somebody's game, what events could happen that would make them go up, what events could happen that would make them go down. It's very fun for me. So let me know what you think about this new format of the stock watch. I'm very curious. You know, as we're sort of nearing, we're around the halfway mark at this point. This is a new sort of way that we're going about it. Let me know your thoughts. If you're having fun,
by the way, at one lucky EA, this is from the BB president, thoughts on what Dane would do next week if he wins HOH, tricky position. I actually do agree with that, and Dane is somebody who has shown an inability to throw an HOH competition. So
well, he just threw this last one.
Well, yeah, but I 2 weeks in a row, especially if he thinks like some triple or something is coming. Of course, they usually announce that ahead of time, don't they? Yeah. I'm trying to think if Arissa announces that it's a triple eviction.
Yeah, she would tell them if it was a triple. Yeah.
I think she didn't tell Brittany, but that was when it was a new thing. But nowadays, they tell them ahead of time.
Yeah, I mean, that was their whole thing with Mark, is Mark is like, I just accidentally won the triple. And they're like, no, they
didn't
tell
them. I still don't think that Dane could have gotten all of those questions right.
Well, I mean, maybe I think he actually said on the feeds that there was one question that he would have gotten wrong if he hadn't been throwing. So Maybe he can't compete with Mark, but he's definitely good enough, according to what he says, at the very least. Okay. Right. You never know for sure with these people, but he did say ahead of time that he was throwing, so you never know.
Based off the trend of the last couple of HOHs, everybody should want to throw them. It's not good for you. Not good for your game.
Right?
Step away.
It really doesn't behoove Dane to win this next one. If Dane doesn't win it, that means with Corey gone, I think Adam has to be the favorite. If Adam wins, he's probably targeting Esty unless he decides to turn on the pretty boys.
But who would Dane target if he does win, though? He could win.
If Dane won,
I think he should target Mark probably then.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got enough reason to do it at this point.
Yeah. That's probably the move. Again, there could be more fractures in the pretty boys, but I do think this is Dane's chance to throw again. I don't think he should want to win this one. If he does, it does kind of put him in a tricky spot.
Very tricky spot. Because yeah. He's really going to nominate Esty. Maybe he could nominate Damien, I guess, but I think he's definitely nominating Mark. I can't even find a second person who we would nominate. He doesn't want to nominate Kira. Maybe Kira. I don't know.
It's actually good for Dane's game, I think, if Adam wins and takes Esty or Damien out for him.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
100%. Yeah, because then he would retain the loyalty of Damien and or Esty. It would be even better if Esty left, because Damien would remain there as a threat for, you know, Mark and Anthony to need to take out, with Adam still there as a threat that they need to take out, and Dane stays in a great spot. So he should definitely be looking to throw this one, and I'll be curious to see if he talks on the to the cameras about throwing it like he did last week. So that's what we got for you. Anything else that you guys want to bring up? Let me know if you have a hashtag idea in the chat. But any final thoughts here?
Mondo in the chat is saying that Dane can put up Anthony on the block and say that he hasn't touched the block yet. Yeah, I don't think that's going to fly with Anthony. I'm just taking a wild guess.
Hey, here. We've all taken our turns. Aren't you loyal to the soil? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
You're not like Adam, right? You're not going to freak out.
Yeah.
I think that I think while it could be smart to get Anthony out, I think the benefit of not putting Anthony up is that Dane can then basically say, you know, I'm saving you, Anthony. Other people wanted you up, but I'm taking out Mark because I know that he's, you know, the one causing the problems, really, not you. It's not your fault this happened.
Yes. So there you go. That's the round two. I'm seeing #weedbrain. #weedbrain in the chat. I like it. Weedbrain is it's a good chatter. Good chatter in there.
#weedbrainwash.
Yeah. You know, hey, Sam was talking about having weed brain. I do kind of wonder, maybe Mark caught the disease.
I don't know.
How can he catch the disease when he's not sucking bubbles out of her mouth?
Oh, well, maybe Adam caught it and then it transmitted to Mark because they were yelling at each other. I don't know. All right. So
it's a very Canadian thing to say, by the way. I've never heard that before. I've heard the other thing that Anthony says, which I'm not going to repeat.
Yes.
Yeah. But sucking bubbles out of their mouth. I've never heard that before. Never.
Well, Mark did get bubbles for his HOH, and he loves just kind of like hanging out by himself in the HOH room, like, phew.
Bubbles. Like my 5-year-old niece.
Yay. Yeah. Dane likes doing it too. They love their bubbles. Something to do, I guess.
God.
So I think that's where the bubbles came from. I feel like he didn't talk about bubbles until the bubbles arrived, but I might be wrong about that. Anyway, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Mary is at Frail Mary, and Brent is at One Lucky Gay. I will be live tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the feeds. And just this morning, I was saying, man, I hope it's not a busy day. I hope it's an easy one so I can get it out of the way, head to Philly. All right. We'll see what we can do. I will be live tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern to update you. And then throughout the week, I will be in Philly. So bear with me on that, but we'll make it happen. And Thursday night, we will be live to recap the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 7, where we thought Damien was going to be leaving, but instead we might be seeing Corey heading out the door. Oh man, that's going to be a great jury segment when Corey arrives and Sam is there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I just forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me about that.
So good.
So sweet. Yes. Oh, Sam's going to be so happy.
Oh, man. All right. So that's what we've got for you. Thank you for joining us. And thank you to Mary for coming in and filling in for Melissa.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was a great time.
Yes. Thank you to Alexandra for running the great Stockwatch stuff. Christina Z for all of the great statistics. And the great Scott St. Pierre for doing all of the editing and posting and all of the wonderful stuff that makes the podcast work. Thank you to all of you people. And I will see you next time.